So someone forgot their personal recording this week, so this is coming from our backup. Excuse the audio quality.
So who's going to host this?
I don't want to do it. Fuck you.
I'll host it. Guys, I'll host it.
No, no, no. Numerama is not hosting it.
Oh, God. Don't
let me. Please.
No, not host it.
Let me on, Coach. Coach, let me on. Coach,
do not let
me
on.
Let me do it before you let Noob do it.
I'm actually fine with that. Revan's way better than Noob.
Fine, guys, I'll host it. Let's just do the Lincoln cast.
Fine.
Hello, this is Lincoln cast. This is Thurbleton, and this is for... It's one of the weeks in January, middle of the week, middle of the month.
It's the third week of January.
Third week. This is the real episode 37, and this is the Lincoln cast. How you guys doing? My name's Thurbleton. We got Cynic in the house. What up?
Woo! Selfish Cynic in the house.
The digital house is rocking with Edmund, aka
Ubrama. Are you reading his Skype name? Don't read his Skype name.
I keep looking at it in Skype.
I had to change it. Because I'm sorry, but you're not an Edmund.
Yeah, he's an Edmund. He looks like
Edmund. Am I really not?
You're a noob.
I'm an N-O-0-B-0-R-A-M-A. Yeah.
I need to rename this in Skype later on. Followed by Riven is here as well.
You're not the champion. I am the champion.
What? Champion?
Why don't you call him by his real name? Why am I the only one being called out? What is this?
Because I keep staring at your name.
I like how you refer to Revan as his real name.
Is Revan his real name?
How Skype, or not Skype, Mumble refers to him not as Revan. It's Revan.
But was that Revan? You're breaking up on my end. Well.
Yeah, so I learned this last week that Guild Wars 2 is a game, and it's fun.
Yes, it is.
Oh, yeah.
It is. But we are not going to talk about it right now, but we will talk about it.
We swear we will talk about it.
We're actually going to talk about it. Something that we realized was we talk a lot about things that are not Guild Wars.
What?
People like that.
What are you talking about?
That would make us an off topic.
We're still going to keep going. We're still going to keep doing Lincoln Cast. We're still going to be going off topic and having a great time, but we will keep the Lincoln Cast for Guild Wars, but we're also bringing the Scotch Cast out. And I
got to say real quickly, if the conversation that Cynic and I had on Steam prior to the recording of this podcast is any indication, watch out.
It's going
to
be contentious. It's going to be contentious.
Some shit to say.
Yeah.
We don't agree on everything.
Generally, Durin is wrong about everything.
Cynic is fucking nuts is what it comes down to.
Durin, are those conversations like the ones I have Cynic and they're like creepy Japanese?
No. I like that conversation with Noob Rama. With Durin, it's just me and him fighting about things
basically,
that don't matter.
Like, fuck you, you're wrong.
So
the Wii U sucks.
He was reading people into these conversations and Mumble, you are dead wrong.
The Wii U sucks.
I was relaying some of the stuff that we were arguing about in Mumble. And
Wii U sucks.
People got my back is all I got to say.
You guys are all wrong.
Cynic, do you want to talk about some of the stuff that we'll be doing in the Scotch cast and the Lincoln cast? Basically the format looking forward for our amazing 12 people who listen to the podcast.
Oh, yeah.
Foreman.
So as we go further into Guild Wars 2 being out, there is not always something Guild Wars 2 related to talk about every week, unless we want to go really nitty gritty into things that a lot of people just don't.
Unless they do a Guild Wars 2 anime, in which case there's going to be stuff to talk about every week.
But like,
just animate the books.
There's other places to go for things like World versus World advice, tactical information, things like that. Especially forums is probably the best place for that. I know there's probably an opening out there for a World versus World podcast, but considering only really Thurbleton knows what the fuck he's talking about,
clearly
this is not the place.
We are
for that.
Not the ones.
Yeah,
there will probably end up being a World versus World podcast, but it's just I am the only person who cares about it, and
yeah.
I don't even really like. I can't defend it. I know it's flawed.
and we
do that podcast.
It's broken goods.
And we will just completely bash the game.
And there's definitely places for a PvP podcast. Again, there's not as much as there would have been, maybe, but we are probably not the people who you want to do that. But we are the people to talk about random bullshit on the internet.
Oh, Hell yeah!
I do want to real quickly though come out here and say and publicly apologize to all the new listeners that we got from the Thanksgiving episode, or sorry, the Christmas episode.
I apologize for nothing.
Thanksgiving episode.
I apologize
for the Christmas episode. The special that we put out with Josh Foreman. We had a blast with that episode, and we're glad we got so many new people listening. And then we kind of took like a 3-week hiatus.
And then
came back with an off-topic podcast.
Uh-huh.
Well, no, it was a 2-week hiatus and then the anime cast.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, sorry. Right. Well, yeah. A two-week hiatus and then 2 off-topic podcasts. Mm-hmm. So I do want to apologize to those new people. I swear to God, we are a Guild Wars 2 podcast, and we're going to make sure we get back to that today. So hopefully they haven't given up on us yet.
So that's essentially what we're talking about. There is not always something to talk about in Guild Wars 2. There is not always something to talk about when it comes to random shit. But we'd rather do the latter than the former when there's nothing to talk about. So what we will be promising from here on out is we will always have, unless something goes horribly wrong, at least 1 podcast a week. Whether that be a Guild Wars 2 podcast or an off-topic podcast. If there's a case where we want to do an off-topic podcast, but there's also a bunch of Guild Wars 2 stuff to talk about that week, we will do 2 podcasts, if not more, on that week. So, for example, I fully expect us to do multiple podcasts.
I don't give a shit if it's just me and Cynic. We will have a podcast for every day of E3.
And if GDC is looking to turn out as fucking crazy as it might be with the new consoles and shit, that's definitely
GDC.
Oh, yeah.
Definitely going to be a podcast.
I'm not going to be held to this, but if my schedule permits it, I would like to be on some of those E3 podcasts.
Yeah, so stuff like that's a good example of what we're doing going forward. So, for example, in E3, we will still do a Guild Wars 2 podcast if there's stuff Guild Wars 2Z to talk about. But aside from that, that's pretty much it. They will still be the Linker cast, and there will also be the Scotch cast.
And for those of you who only really care about the Linker cast stuff or the Guild Wars 2 related stuff, like, we will be sure to name each podcast appropriately so that when it comes through on your feed, like, you'll know before you ever even start the file if it's something you care about, and you can just, you know, if you see it's Scotchcast and you don't want to listen to Scotchcast, you can just remove it.
Yeah, exactly. But they will be on the same feed. We won't be splitting out the feeds as of now. That's everyone.
Thermals can take us away. Basically, you're still going to get Durin, Cynic, or me pulling host duty. If it's a bad week, you'll know it because Nubarama is hosting.
If it's a really bad week, I'll be hosting.
Yeah.
But the thing, right? Like, if it gets to bad enough that Nubarama is hosting, he just doesn't give it. He just doesn't do it. He's like, yeah, I'll host this week. Yeah, guys, don't worry.
No,
what to me?
And then fucking does all nothing. All of them have turned out perfectly.
Yeah, but we were there.
I would love to see a Scotchcast with Riven and Shinboy just talking to you.
Oh, man.
So much talking.
Oh, God. Everyone's
okay. So, just, that's what we got looking forward. But I guess, do we want to keep doing what we've been playing, Cynic?
Absolutely.
Absolutely.
With what have you been playing?
We're still doing 1 a week, so we're still playing games each week.
Wow.
I'm trying to segue.
Oh, is it what I've been doing this week?
Yes.
Cynic, what have you been
playing? I haven't been playing anything.
Have you been busy just like out rocking the night away?
Yeah, because first and foremost, I got Gemini Rue because I wanted it. It looks so awesome, but I booted it. Realized it was in like forced 640x480, and I was like, "Yeah, this looks good, but it's not really what I'm looking for at the moment." So I have it on my desktop ready to go. For some reason, I still have The Walking Dead on my desktop. I should probably delete that icon because fuck that game. But aside from that,
such a bad person.
Yeah, I know. I'm fine with being wrong sometimes. I went to a rock concert. That's essentially all I did this week, and read books. Oh. I shouldn't go into the books because they were Christian fantasy, and I did not think this is the right venue.
No, I think you're in the right place.
You are correct, Rebel.
Let's go. This is the right venue.
Because, all right, so
I will say right now, this is definitely not the place to be discussing Christian fantasy.
Yeah, I know.
As a man who has been in Catholic, who went to Catholic school from kindergarten to his last year of high school, if you start talking about Jesus, I will walk out of
no,
here.
That's
he
my problem.
Walk out of his room.
That is my problem with Christian fantasy. Let's not delve into my views on how.
Yeah, let's
Christians
not open this
world.
Can of worms after just saying we're going to keep this thing on topic with Guild Wars as best we can. That is definitely a Scotchcast topic.
Yeah, that may come up in the Scotchcast if I have. Yeah, a
pause. What else is new with you, sir? There's got to be.
So, have you guys heard of Ailstorm?
Hailstorm?
No, inform me.
That sounds like
this?
Some crazy Australian rock and roll.
No. Hailstorm the band?
A pirate is free. Do what you want because a pirate is free.
Because if that's what you're talking about, fuck yes, I've heard of Hailstorm. They're
so,
badass.
So, yeah, Hailstorm came to Sydney this week. I watched them last night. It was awesome.
Nice.
So that's why my voice...
Did they sing You Are a Pirate?
I have no idea if... Oh, so,
did Lizzie, in fact, rock it?
So, the thing is with Hailstorm is one of us wanted to go and... The rest of us wanted a night out, so we ended up going to the concert. But what happened from there on was it was. I'm not a rock concert kind of person. I'm definitely not a rock concert kind of person. So what we ended up doing was because it was hosted at my old uni's bar. So it's like
did you ever say at a bar?
Of course, we had three bars. It's Australia, dude. What the fuck do you want? the whole top level is like a concert hall and with a bar on the right hand side. And it has a huge like deck out in the open as well. And every floor has that. But anyway, we were sitting out on the deck while they were playing indoors. So we were getting the music, but it wasn't overwhelmingly loud. We could still hold the conversation and we were drinking. So, like, that's essentially how I spent the night. We didn't actually... I haven't seen Ailstorm. Ailstorm, even though I was there. So,
okay, let me make sure we're talking about the same one, because the way you're pronouncing it, is it Hailstorm?
No.
Ail.
Okay, never mind. Completely different group than what I was thinking of.
let's put it this way.
They covered a song that was in Lazy Town. Do you guys know that? Icelandic children's television show?
Nope.
Yes, unfortunately I do. Goddamn.
Yo-ho, a pirate is free. Do what you want because a pirate is free.
Okay, well, they definitely did that song as well. Oh, no, because they're a pirate rock band that sings pirate music, including Nancy the Tavern Witch.
Okay.
Did you see them or did you just heard
that's
the
thing,
music?
That's the thing. All right, so it was a concert that was supposed to go from 8 p.m. to midnight, right? But the cover bands, actually not the cover bands, the opening acts were out until like 10:30. So like, I assume it went way later than expected, but like by the time they actually came out, we were like just outside and we were happy with just staying where the fuck we were because we were just so bored by then.
I want to know whether or not they went like, they probably went like full pirate garb. Like, that's to be expected, right?
I rocked up early for some reason, and it was me standing there alone, surrounded by people in pirate costumes. It was the weirdest thing I've done in quite a while. But the cool thing was, like, the rallying at the start was a dude in a pirate costume standing on the steps to our bar, shouting SpongeBob, and everyone in the crowd shouting SquarePants, and so on and so forth, until the completion of that song twice over. That was awesome. It was fun. It was fun. That's what I did this week. My voice is shot, even though you probably can't hear the difference. I do. So I might not be talking too much this episode, but yeah, it was good. Aside from that, Christian music, Christian books, and I'm not going to talk about this.
Right on. Any heavy metal rock and roll band that is pirate themed that does SpongeBob SquarePants, I can get behind.
It's totally
because that sounds awesome.
It was actually pretty damn cool. I liked them, even though I didn't actually see the band.
Very cool. Doobrama, what you up to?
Dare we ask?
So basically, fuck, my week has been pretty boring. Let me think of video games or something possibly interesting. Like Victoria 2, like always.
Uh-huh.
Played a little bit of Arma, like always. Mm-hmm. And I've also read books, although not of the Christian fantasy variety, unfortunately.
Sorry. Yeah, you're missing out.
Which I would definitely love to get into.
You're totally missing out.
Again, one of these boring books. The Endgame, the inside story of the struggle for Iraq, from George W. Bush to Barack Obama. Have you guys ever heard of the book Cobra 2?
No.
No.
No. Okay, never mind.
I feel like that has been our response to every time you've asked, have you guys ever heard of the book
blank? The weather The weather this week has been so nice. Today or yesterday, it was negative 18 degrees Celsius. I don't know what that is in Fahrenheit, but that's like negative.
That's like zero. That's near zero Fahrenheit, isn't it?
All right. And it was snowing heavily last night, right? So there was like 10 centimeters of snow here in Toronto. And then this morning, all the snow melted and it was 7 degrees. What the fuck is wrong with the weather?
That's actually what it's like in Portland, too. It's like this morning there was frost or snow, I guess, on the roofs and everything. And then by 10 o'clock noon, it was gone and you could walk around.
So you do that.
I'm so happy, though, because I was like really pissed because I was going to spend my morning
I don't want to hear about you guys' weather because I live in fucking Kansas City, Missouri. We have the most shitty, random fucking weather
in
this fucking hemisphere.
That. I'll contest.
It's not like you guys have tornadoes that just pick up houses and take them to other lands.
We had tornado warnings in the wintertime.
All right, yeah. You win. You win. Fuck.
You win. Well, here in Toronto, it rains and snows, and there's like...
I'm pretty sure tornado warnings win. Just in general. Like, if you talk about weather and someone has tornado warnings.
And just seen and been around tornadoes, tornadoes win.
Yeah.
Unless you got a hurricane up your sleeve.
No, I'm actually more terrified of tornadoes than
anytime a hurricane hits where I am, it's bad news. It's bad.
Well, there used to be typhoons where I lived.
But not anymore. Used to be. Yeah, there you go.
I don't remember them because I was like four. But
the typhoons took everything away.
Including my memory.
Yeah, it's like start to an anime.
Amnesiatic typhoons.
Right. You hit your head in the storm, knocked all your memories out,
and then you're
my memories waking
game.
Up on the beach,
and then you're in an MMO, and then yeah.
No, or start the Kingdom Hearts.
God damn it! That's
actually how you get to the mists.
That would be fun. That would be great.
That would be pretty cool.
The portal teleports you into the center of a typhoon.
Durin, I guess, if the weather's been that bad for you, what's keeping you up? How you managing this week?
Well, this week was actually my last week of work, so naturally I was busy as fuck with all of that.
And just to be clear, that's a celebratory statement, right?
Yes. Well,
not oh shit,
for
now,
fire, yes. Now, get back to me in 2 weeks and it may not be.
I just swore, like, you did some sort of, like, not getting too in-depth, but you did something to do with taxes, right?
Yeah,
wouldn't the work be done April 15th and not the middle of January?
What we do is we basically – I work for H&R Block. I'm pretty sure I can say that. And – well, I mean, like,
pretty sure.
Without getting any kind of, like, trouble for immediately just fucking crapping on them.
Right.
Because it actually is really a company to work for. But
tell me about people's tax returns. Tell me about everyone's
time?
Tax returns.
Like, give me some social security.
April?
Well, that's their prime season that most people know of, which is the tax season. But
right. The
job that I do is like prepping for the tax season. So basically, like each year with tax form law changes and everything, the tax forms themselves will change. And in order to do like the software that companies like H&R Block and whatever the hell the other companies are that do taxes, for the software, like they have to create templates for those forms within their software that mimics the state release forms. And my job is to create those templates, get them ready to get them so that they work with what the software developers program. And probably the most boring and biggest part of my job is to proofread those forms to make sure that everything is 100% accurate.
That sounds really boring and you should celebrate for not having to work there anymore.
I listen to a lot of podcasts while I'm at work.
It sounds like your eyes are going to be real bad in about 10 years.
Kind of want to just have one episode where we can all gripe about work.
So,
I don't have a job.
Oh, yeah,
that's
true.
It's what, Cynic?
That Thanksgiving was essentially me and Noob bitching about work.
Yeah. So, that's all.
Snow's here. There's a lot of phone calls.
That's all done as of this week. But like I was kind of prepping for that and everything. Didn't have a lot of free time, but so partway through the week, I started having pain in my teeth. Turns out wisdom teeth now need pulled. So that's going to be fun for next week. And that's
didn't someone else here have that same thing like last year? Did someone else get their wisdom teeth pulled?
I had my wisdom teeth removed, but I wasn't on the Linky Cast during that time.
Noob? Yeah, me neither. Well, okay. This was long before Guild Wars 2 came out.
Oh. You had your wisdom teeth removed already, Noob?
Yeah.
He's like 12 years old.
Already 12
baby
years
teeth or have your adult teeth already grown?
Well, like oh. this my front tooth is still a baby tooth, so I need to wait for that to fall out.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Oh, you can just knock that out.
No. Durin, you have so many nice things to expect, like pain when you wake up in the morning, and then headaches from all the painkillers, and then not being able to eat because it's painful and you start bleeding, and there's like blood all over your food. It's going to be great, Durin.
So the part I'm looking forward to is it's also going to be a week of Jell-O pudding and fucking like popsicles.
See, that's what I thought. There was ice cream, there was Jell-O, there was yogurt, there was everything, and then that doesn't make anything better. No.
Actually, I don't know about popsicles. I know shakes are a bad idea, and you can't like use anything with straws.
No.
Okay. Well, I know my wife said that for her popsicles were amazing because it helps like kind of like numb swelling down, and yeah, it doesn't hurt as bad.
You probably should bite the popsicles, I guess.
It's. I mean, like I have a pretty good pain tolerance, but like it. The only issue was. Like at the very beginning when they I just have a phobia of needles and whatnot, but once they actually numbed it, it was more of a weird sensation of how am I breathing right now when I can't feel myself breathing through my mouth.
Okay, that's weird. Yeah.
Yeah, it was a weird experience. And then like after that, it was like the annoying dull pain while the pain meds had worn off.
Yeah, that like I have a pretty high tolerance for pain, but dull pain is something I can't get behind.
I don't have a tolerance for anything.
You know, it's I would take that for a couple of days over every now and then whenever I bite down, getting that spike of pain as you're.
That's why this kind of needed to be done as soon as possible, because it wasn't even just every now and then. It was constant. The only reason it doesn't hurt now is because I'm currently on some antibiotics to keep that swelling down until the surgery.
Oh, yeah.
By the way, it's a surgery. These haven't actually come through all the way. They're coming in sideways.
Oh, right. That's exactly what happened. They put me to sleep for that because they had to, like, tear through my chin or
it's going
to
be fun.
Back part of my mouth. So, and then I get to wake up and then I couldn't, like, really walk. So I had to get my dad to drive me home and it was great. And then it's going to be great. A week off school. I get to just, like, sit around and eat ice cream. And then, oh, man, it's probably, like, the worst weeks of my life.
So aside from that,
I have been playing Guild Wars 2.
Oh, what? Wait,
before we move on, just a second.
I put in like 100 hours into Guild Wars 2 this week.
I need to slightly derail this because last week I forgot about one of the most painful things I did recently, which I've, like, literally one of the most painful experiences of my life. And also related to the mouth. Hey, it was done during my holiday I did over New Year's.
Gave another man.
Cynic, I don't think we need to hear what you did to get some extra money for the holidays.
In Woi Woi in Australia, there is a pie place. Now, from my understanding, Americans really don't do meat pies too much. Like, you guys don't really do.
Shepherd pie.
You're Canadian. And yeah, it's like a shepherd pie. Yeah. Americans speaking, Thurbleton, Revan.
Yeah, not really,
it's, no. No, I'm not, yeah, we like fruit and all that, but no meat pies.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. No, we know of it, but we don't participate in that.
So Australia is essentially the land of beer and meat pies. And
I can get behind one of those.
Yeah, I can get behind the beer.
And meat pies are actually one of the greatest. They're not up there. They're not quite up there with pizza and burgers, but they're pretty close to the top of like the junk food food chain in terms of what tastes the best in the world.
Oh, junk food meat pie. I'm a junk food meat pie.
Well, meat pies, I'd put up there with junk food. I wouldn't say they're healthy. They're essentially gristle and surrounded by pastry, but and gravy. But so in Woi Woi, when I went on the holidays over New Year's,
not healthy at all.
Have you heard of a type of chili called? I believe it's the Trinidad Scorpion.
No.
If you're familiar
with the Trinidad.
I see where the pain is starting to come in now, though.
So I had supposedly the hottest meat pies in the world. They are, which is not too difficult to believe because we're in Australia and there's very few countries that actually do meat pies. And there's a reason they were hot because they used Trinidad Scorpions as the chili within that. So the first thing we do is we walk into the store. And we just thought they just had like all these awards out front. I'm like, okay, cool. Apparently these guys do really good meat pies. Walk inside. There's a poster on the wall with this bald guy with a mustache and his head's on fire and he's eating a meat pie. And it's like world's hottest meat pie. only here? And we're like, okay, that sounds interesting. I'm an Indian, so I'm like, I doubt it's that. Like, come on. Come on. We're in the middle of nowhere.
I challenge you.
Exactly. We're in the middle of nowhere in Australia. I doubt you guys can actually fuck me over with apparently hot meat pie. And what does a hot meat pie mean? So we ordered them.
So what does it mean, Cynic?
We ordered them, and at this point, we didn't know that it was Trinidad Scorpions in them. We ordered them, and I was still like pretty confident about my ability to eat these meat pies. There was four of us. We ordered four. And the first thing they did was, A, they made sure they had some, because apparently it's pretty hard to get Trinidad Scorpions, and they don't usually stock many because most people can't take them.
Well, okay,
that should have been your first warning sign.
Like, they just named it Trinidad Scorpions to make it sound hot, but I didn't really realize they were actual fucking scorpions.
No, they're not. No, they're not.
It's not a pepper.
It's the name of the chili. Okay. Let's wiki this. Yeah. Can someone wiki this? Because it actually has a rating next to the wiki as to how. I think on the wiki, if I remember correctly, if you think of Tabasco sauce, this is supposedly in taste terms 200,000 times hotter than Tabasco sauce.
Yeah, I've seen stuff like that where
exceptionally hot. Five chili peppers.
I've seen like they've made scales
1.4
of
million. On the Scoville rating.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, Trinidad
Moruga Scorpion.
Yep. Tell us what that means. I think there's numbers there. Give us some examples.
Apparently, it's the most spicy one in the world.
Yeah. So, we didn't know this.
Wait, there's two. There's the Trinidad
Moruga
Scorpion.
It is actually the hottest chili pepper in the world to date.
Butch tea pepper is the hottest chili pepper in the world.
So, you look at the thing on the wiki for the Scoville rating.
Yep.
What you ate is basically the equivalent of pepper spray.
Yay!
Noob, according to this Wikipedia entry, this is actually the hottest chili pepper in the world to date.
Right. Yeah, no, but like there's
two
varieties.
I didn't have the Moruga.
Oh, okay.
No, the Moruga is not the hottest.
Okay, I had the one that was not the Moruga.
Okay, then you did not eat what was equivalent to pepper spray. Yeah. You ate was just below.
Okay. Just below, right? Yeah, okay, there we go. So we walk in, we order them. The first thing they do was check if they had any. And then the second thing they do is they gave us release forms, but like insurance waivers.
Serious?
Hit number two.
Right?
At this point, again, we didn't know it was Trinidad Scorpions. I thought it was just like a publicity thing. I'm like, yeah, whatever. This is going to be stupid. So,
Cynic, if someone has to hand you a waiver form to eat a piece of food, you do not eat that food.
It's like, did you think it was like, oh, they're building this up as this?
Yeah, that's
this
exactly
thing,
what I thought. I was like, yeah, this can't be. Because remember, this is like a small town in Australia. It's like in the middle of nowhere. Well, not really in the middle of nowhere, but it's not a big, like, it's not in the city. I would expect something like this to be in the city. And it's like a small pie shop near a parking lot. It didn't look like anything special. Aside from the fact it had a heap of awards. We're like, yeah, what? They're just hyping this up. We signed the release forms. And we signed the release forms, we hand them in, and then my friend reads the fine print. No, reads an article on the wall, which was next to that poster of the dude with his head on fire. And that one actually went into what's in it, and then he found out it was Trinidad Scorpions in it, and they were like, oh shit, what have we done? So, they bring
and
out...
And were you like, Trinidad Scorpions?
No, because at that point, when a chili has a name, aside from just inverted commas chili, then you kind of have to know, okay, this is probably going to fuck me up. So... We walk outside, and again, outdoor sitting area, we're sitting down, and my friend starts going through the wiki, and he's like, oh yeah, so this is like 200,000 times as strong as Tabasco sauce, this is like, yeah, and like X, like all these like crazy amounts of math, I've forgotten what the actual numbers were. So we're sitting there waiting for them, they bring them out, we put them down.
They're on fire.
We pass them around. They just look like normal meat pies. So if you
like a red haze coming from them,
they just look absolutely normal. There's nothing special about them.
So it's like something
you
that
cut
you
into them, and then some gas escapes in the form of a skull and crossbone. Just
so,
evil laughter.
Again, being Indian, I'm like, okay, if there's anyone who can do this on this table, because my friends are like two Chinese dudes, me and a Hungarian dude. That's my normal group of friends.
I know. Actually, I put my faith in the Hungarian.
No. So
I put my faith in no one if you had to sign a waiver.
So they put him down, and I was the first one to take a bite. So the only way I could describe it was, because no one cut it open before that, and I was one of the first ones to get one. So we didn't really know what would be inside. First of all, the color. When we looked into, after I've bitten it, and this is while I was still going through shock, I realized that the inside was red. So meat pie, if people don't know, is usually just like brown on the inside. Just tastes like
meat.
Just looks like meat. And gravy. But this is, it was like a wall of red, and you can see like little elements of like chili skin, there. So it looked like no other meat pie I'd ever seen. And then we got to the taste. So if you have ever had something chili, there's a couple of different kinds of things that taste chili-like, right? There's a type of chili that kind of like hits you at the start of the tongue, and you immediately know it's chili. And it stays for a couple of seconds and goes away after a couple of minutes, right? Then there's a type of chili that's a slow build as well. That's like you put it in your mouth, it doesn't feel chili at the start, and then eventually you're like, oh, this is actually pretty spicy. And that's what you kind of get from most food types, those two types. So this, the only way I could describe it was, imagine a wall. Instead of like a little like sip of chili or like a slow tinge of chili like a breeze of time, just a wall of heat that blankets your entire mouth in like just burning pain. Like, that's all you can feel. Literally your whole face feels terrible. Like it burns from the tip, from every, like from the moment you put in your mouth all the way down your stomach, you can feel it moving down your digestive tract. It is so hot, you never want to put it in your mouth again. So I ate the whole pie. It took me about half an hour to eat it, and a full bottle, 600 ml of milk to eat it. And I was the only one who finished it. The other guys, one of them was like, oh, I'm not sure about chili, but I'll try it out. And after the first bite, he started tingling all over. And after the second bite, he lost some of the sensation to his fingertips. So he stopped eating it.
Jesus.
So he stopped. And by the way, when we asked why we had to sign a waiver, it's because apparently an older couple had heart attacks when they ate these.
That sounds right.
Yeah. So he stopped eating it, and then my other two friends had like two bites, and were like, "Yeah, we're done. This is not fun anymore, guys." But I was like, "Okay, as a challenge to myself, I need to complete this." So I got near the end,
achievement. You have to get the like.
Yeah, I need to get the bathroom. After that.
I was gonna say, how much did you regret that about right, 6 or 8 hours later?
So usually when I have hot food, I don't feel anything. I didn't realize that the post hot food burn on the way out happened. until now, oh, I've never had that in my entire life.
I've never had that feeling, so I'm not really looking forward to ever having it.
And again, in most people's cases, that usually happens. Like for people who can't take hot food that well, it usually is like one passing and then you're done. So that hotness lasted for about 3 days.
The only thing I take from this is earlier before we were recording, we were talking about just old movies and whatnot, and talk about like I think 12 Angry Men. But the movie of Glengarry Glen Ross, when he's talking about, you don't remember like the great sex you had in your life, but you remember the great shits after great meals. So what you're saying is, when you're old and dying, you will
I'll remember
the crap after eating. This is the super chili pie.
It was terrible.
For the burning.
It burned on the way out for multiple days. It was crazy.
Did you get your name up on a wall or a shirt or something out of it?
Shit, I didn't ask. Like, we kind of just ate it and then left. I didn't really go in back inside and gloat or anything. I was, at the time, because, again, like, you feel it going through your entire digestive tract. You feel it going down your throat, and you feel it in your stomach. So I was just trying not to vomit all the way home, essentially. That was my experience.
Did you ever lose any kind of sensation of your own as well?
Sorry, what was that?
Did you ever lose any kind of sensation on your own as well? Like, any loss of sensation in your fingers or your face or anything?
No, I think like the number one thing I was concerned about was I thoroughly washed my hands after eating it, because if you, I did not want to know what would have happened if I touched myself in the eye or whatever, having that.
You're blind that eye for.
Thankfully, I've read about like eating hot food before. If I hadn't, I would have not. I wouldn't have known, for example, that milk helps, and milk helps. Like,
Holy shit!
It depends.
You have to be careful on what you're eating with the milk, because if it's like a hot food that doesn't go well with milk, it will make it inherently worse when you're shitting it out. I will guarantee.
Exactly. So in this case, I will take your getting your wisdom teeth out and raise you eating something with
chitinous
scorpions in it.
No. I from what I heard, it sounds painful, but wisdom teeth, I feel like, is on a different level.
Have you had your wisdom teeth pulled out, Cynic? No, I haven't.
Yes, see, you can't
compare. So, but I need you. Well, you're the because I'm not going to just randomly get my wisdom teeth pulled out. You are the test. You three who have had your wisdom teeth out.
Go out and eat that. I'm going to say chili wins, only because when anybody here in this day and age, and like at least a main world, gets their wisdom teeth taken out, they do it with pain meds.
Yeah, I was going to say.
I had no pain meds.
Pills I can take that
they
will help.
They acceptingly lose their feeling and their like.
Yeah.
Teeth and
did not have that option.
Everything.
It just burned. It was a wall of flame in my face that I could not put out for an hour.
But I feel like I don't know what Cynic's done is like just inflicted self harm on his own. Like we probably didn't have a choice when we got our wisdom teeth pulled out. Like it was like
so I have a dumb story involving hot sauce as well. I don't even remember what the hot sauce was, but one of my roommates dared me to like drink some of this hot sauce and just sit there, not drink any milk, any water, just drink it and sit there.
No.
Was there money on the table for this?
I think it was just pride.
All right.
I do remember a very short associated story with that. It wasn't nearly as hot as that kind of stuff, but back when I lived with some roommates, a roommate friend of mine who also was a bartender, we had been drinking heavily, and he decided to make us some what was the name of the shot? Prairie Fire shots.
Prairie Fire shots?
Yes. It's like, I believe the actual recipe is supposed to be like one part Tabasco, like two or three parts vodka, I think.
Sounds bad.
Oh, no, I'm sorry. It's supposed to be like two or three drops of Tabasco, and then the rest was like vodka or something.
Okay.
He, however, was so drunk that he couldn't remember, and he could have sworn that it was half and half.
Jesus!
And so his wife and I were the only two ones who were willing to take the shot because we were apparently the only ones drunk enough to.
Nice.
And it basically ended with us sitting on the kitchen floor, passing the milk back and forth between each other for the next half.
Yeah.
Wow.
You needed vodka, right?
Oh, man.
What's that?
You needed vodka?
Vodka with it.
It was half and half vodka and Tabasco.
Well, all right, what kind of vodka?
No, I do not want to give Riven more ideas on how to go into chili-induced comas on the floor.
I believe it was Absolute. If I had to guess.
The story, then this news, you know, kid in coma after mixing a fucking 151 and Tabasco sauce.
Okay, no, it definitely was not 151.
Because that would have burned you by itself.
I'm going to say if you, like, first off, this, your guys' weeks trump mine, I guess. But if you want to try, rather than do Tabasco and vodka, if you just want to do a practical joke on somebody, get them to do, like, a bunch of ginger root, like, mixed up into water. Because it'll just make them drool constantly.
Oh, you!
It's hilarious.
That is hilarious.
And it
doesn't
make them fall on the ground in pain. That is what I go for.
Yeah. Don't. By the way, just a disclaimer. Like I lived through
this
it.
Don't do any of this stuff.
Don't do it. Don't.
This is not fun.
Like,
also,
I sat there in pain for an hour.
Like
just sat there.
I think what you can take away is. First and foremost, again, as Reverend says, and it's a deep piece of wisdom. If someone passes you a waiver form for before you eat food, don't. Second one would be don't accept food on a dare, and just take that away. Live
just
by
never
those
accept
rules.
Anything on a dare. That's the real thing you should be doing.
Uh huh. Oh, man. Anyway. All
right, so we are like an hour in, I swear.
Wait, one question. Before we move on, I have one question. Have you guys, you know, like when you're eating and then you cough up and then you have like food in your nasal tract, nasal area, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Right. Have you ever had that with hot food, like really spicy food?
Yeah, I have.
It's spicy, terrible food. But I've had like, I was much younger, but fresh macaroni and I chugged a bunch of milk and then they made me laugh and then the macaroni shot up my
nose. Oh!
Thank God it was pasta, and it was a very...
I had a big chunk of, like, some sausage I was eating, and I started coughing, and then I had, like, a really painful time getting that out of my nose.
So I've never came out the other side. I've never had something shoot out of my nose that shouldn't have.
Yeah, same. I'm glad I can also say that. I can also say that.
I'm glad about
that. I think we're just going to move on to the next topic.
What is next?
This week, I play a lot of Guild Wars. Yeah, that's what my week was. And school.
This week I played some Guild Wars, and I also played some Devil May Cry.
DMC Devil May Cry?
Oh, I want to know.
Yes.
Oh, do you like it? Did you like it?
I'm hearing good things about it, despite
really
all the bad
like
things.
That's awesome.
I do like how they're like appeasing the old fans in a very simple way of just like, yeah, we'll let you buy the old Dante skin for this new game.
Oh, can you?
And everyone's like,
is it a proper actual like high res old Dante, or is it like
I'm not sure if it's like if it's old straight old Dante?
I think it's a high res version of the way he looked in Devil May Cry 3 because he's not wearing the shirt like he always was, like he never was in Devil May Cry 3 with that entire game without a shirt, just a red overcoat, pants, and boots. Oh, and fingerless gloves. Let me not forget the fingerless gloves.
Well, yeah, there's a reason people liked Dante because he was a badass. And I'd say red coat, no shirt.
People were bitching about, Devil May Cry, like, they changed Dante, they changed Devil May Cry. Devil May Cry, DMC Devil May Cry starts off about the same way I remember Devil May Cry starting off. And that's
original
Dante
Devil May Cry, right?
Putting his clothes on in a fight.
Yeah.
That's like all I remember. Like, as somebody who hasn't really played a Devil May Cry game before, that's all I know about Devil May Cry is that it started out that way. And so to see this new one do the same thing, like, that was really cool.
Yeah.
And also, red jacket, white hair is in the game.
Yeah, it's
like when he goes all nutso.
Oh right, yeah.
Whatever the special power is he uses, he suddenly has a red jacket and white or white hair.
There's a callback.
But normally, he looks like the lead designer.
One of the opening cutscenes. There's a callback to old Devil May Cry.
That's cool. Wait, so do they make any effort to link the two fictions, or is this an entire reboot?
Oh, it's a reboot.
It's a reboot prequel thing.
Okay.
Yeah.
So it's not like Star Trek where they still manage to link it.
You could argue all you want about like the merits of that universe, but that fiction is so crazy.
Oh yeah.
And this is the right way to do it because if this actually would have just fucking tanked and been a terrible game, they could easily still fall back on that other one.
Yeah.
As being the proper canon, similar to what they did with Prince of Persia, 2000, whatever that was.
I remember hearing like a lot of the old, like, you know, the continuing stories that they've been doing that fans have been getting up in arms about, like Devil May Cry or like Bayonetta or something, is like, why are you rebooting with this old way? Or like, why is Bayonetta going to Wii U and not like the PlayStation? Is because if they didn't do this, there wouldn't be the game in the first place.
Yeah. Bayonetta is going to the Wii U and not the PlayStation because Sega fucking dropped that game and Nintendo decided, we're going to pick it up. Mm-hmm. And they're publishing it. That's why it's not going to be on Sony's system.
Yeah. This Devil May Cry wouldn't, like, after the last game, like, tanked horribly, they weren't going to make another one unless it was this reboot.
Yeah. And so,
Right?
Yeah. Literally, they have not started development, to my knowledge.
Capcom Japan basically just kind of gave up on Devil May Cry and decided, like, if there's going to be one, we'll let the American studio do it because we have no interest in doing it.
Yeah.
And that's absolutely true because, like, Capcom has said before, like, that they strictly really only want the North American offices, like, working on, like, sequels and reboots and whatever. They're not giving them, like, new IPs anymore. Mm-hmm. Like, they're not giving them things that they feel like they can't trust them with. So, I mean, they clearly felt like they could trust Ninja Theory with this game.
So, I'm
glad they did.
I don't respond to terrible commenters because I think that's what they're fishing for when they make fucking terrible comments in the first place.
Yeah,
because
there's trolls.
They're essentially trolls, right? So I usually take, like, even if I have something to say about their obviously incorrect statements, I don't, because that's obviously feeding the troll. this is the closest I've ever, like, because for people that know, giantbomb.com, video website about video games, Brad Shoemaker, one of the reviewers there, gave DMC Devil May Cry 5 stars out of 5 stars. And there was an uproar about that. People hated the fact that he liked that game. And this is the closest I've ever gotten to responding to those people. Because it was a disgrace what people... how stupid people can be about something that's supposed to be fun. This is video games, people. There's like people canceling people really their subscriptions to Giant Bomb because of a 5-star review.
There's no way people actually did that.
Yeah, there was screenshots of the... a person posted the screenshot.
Are you serious?
I should know. Let's not talk about this. I don't want people to search and give this person any coverage whatsoever, because obviously just sad. But yeah, there's just a stupid overreaction to it. And I just hate it when people like it when other people like things. Like, you know, people should like things. If they like them, leave them and fucking learn about it. Even if it's something like Christian novels or whatever.
What people need to realize is old Devil May Cry, the way Dante was, isn't going to play anymore. It's a victim of the era. It's like you can't have him acting like that. Like, you're acting like the way he was. From what I played in Devil May Cry, he's acting like a modern version of Dante Wood.
He's a badass. He's a badass in this game too. Like, from the sounds of it, the way he like has one liners and shit.
I'm sure like the lead designer is also a badass in real life.
Clinging to that, I also agree that maybe
I'm gonna cling to that.
So it's sad that because his influences, the character design's influences, are punk rock. And people are mistaking that for emo, and that's another sad thing I see in modern times. Like, literally, people have...
I'm going to point out that he was blatantly self-inserting himself into video games.
Right. But yeah. Just as an aside, punk rock is not emo at all. Sorry.
God, when you said punk rock, I flashed back to one of the weapons you got in Devil May Cry 3. It was a guitar.
Yeah, down straight it was a guitar. That's awesome.
It was like a straight up a guitar.
Yep,
I have images of him with guitar. That. And the cutscene, like when you got it, was just him rocking out with it, killing things.
Fucking A. Fucking yeah, I have screenshot. I used that as one of my DPs back in the day. Dante with the guitar. That was cool.
I know I need to get us back on topic, but I just don't mind listening to this. That's why I'm a bad host. These podcasts are going forever. All I can say is, like, yeah, like, they're both in the right. That Giant Bomb user who wanted to cancel his subscription, if he doesn't like what they're, you know, reviewing, then that's his prerogative. If he thinks that...
But the weird thing is, he's already paid for the subscription. He's just...
Yeah, he's canceling. But I mean, like, if he thinks that fan is going to drop, like, is going to convince them to change their ways because funding is getting dropped, that's not what Giant Bomb does.
That's also not how
Ryan has come out and said before, like, in the past, and Jeff as well, like, you don't like what we're doing, like, fucking go to a different site then. Yeah. Like, that's not what we're about. This is what we're about, and if you don't like that, then, you know, that's cool.
Yeah. They're not,
you know what we're about, sort of, is Guild Wars 2.
What?
Occasionally.
We're kind of about, yeah.
I'm trying.
What are you talking about?
Guys, a lot of stuff has happened.
Yeah, this is actually a week December. About Guild Wars 2, as opposed to last week, where there was nothing to talk about.
We haven't even talked about Winner's Day yet.
As predicted.
Oh, God.
We're not going to talk about Winner's Day. We're not
Winner's Day is a thing of the past.
Yeah. Your prediction from like a month ago was that guesting is going to come. It was on the spoke. Mm-hmm. It's going to happen January 28th. And as I said last week, they're going to release a lot of stuff this week, and they did.
Wow, that's sooner than I expected. Yeah. I honestly expected an MMO to release a guesting feature literally like 2 years after release, and I'm going to applaud Guild Wars for doing this.
Yeah.
Well, to be fair, there was planned to – yeah, thank you. All right. Good. It was supposed to be at launch. So this week was what? 2 live streams?
Well, and also real quickly, speaking of, it should have been at launch. If I'm not mistaken, in that closed beta that obviously I don't think any of us were in, like, I believe guesting was actually in at one point.
I think so.
I don't think it was working with the Vash. Like, they had, like, a numbers issue, I guess. I don't know.
Okay. It's just surprising that it took them this long to get it in.
Well, they haven't gotten in yet. Let's just be, okay, so they...
Well, oh, yeah, yeah.
They have 2 live streams.
It's going to be released on the 28th. Mm-hmm. Certainly game companies don't delay things. No. Certainly not ArenaNet.
Certainly everything launches smoothly and they don't have to pull features back
off. Certainly MMO developers don't announce things and then 3 hours before that patch comes out, they announce this feature isn't coming out.
Yeah, no, that never happens ever in video games.
No.
First update for Star Wars.
Yeah, did you just cough out Star Wars?
I guess.
No, I got a bad cold. I'm catching a bad cold.
That was in.
I guess I'll just go through like some of the things that is happening for this is people can easily guess. I think you can guess for like two servers at any one time or something. Is how they put it.
Yeah, I believe so. And like when you guest on that server, you have access to it for I believe it's 48 hours,
something like that. Right? Yeah. I think it just keeps refreshing or something. But then
and basically, the only thing you really can't do is WoW stuff. And if you try to go into WoW, it's just going to drop you back to your home server.
Yeah, which that's the thing a lot of people are getting happy about is not only the fact that, for example, I can play with friends who are on other servers without having to wait a week to get back to my server for WoW. We will hopefully see less and less mass guilds hopping across servers to change World versus World.
Well, that and probably like more importantly, we will see less spies showing up in World versus World, which can make things
slightly annoying.
It can make the commander icon basically useless.
So. We may or may not have had to deal with that today, even.
Yeah.
Playing. As soon as I turn my icon
fucking
on.
Fucking Maguma spies.
There's like Ted Maguma about to hit us at this point that we haven't even touched yet.
Yeah, we're literally setting up the goddamn carts for it. And as we're getting them set up, they're coming up around the corner. Like, just perfectly timed. Goddamn.
Looks like they knew. Anyway, that's neither here nor there. There
what
is
if
stuff.
He was a spy. Happening.
Yeah, they wouldn't be a spy. And then also, were they just ran our golems into a pack of crate?
Yeah, there was that too. Yeah, we got two golems jacked from us.
He just got the golem before anybody else could and walked him into crate and like, dude, stop. Can you respond? Anything? Talk to us. Fucking... Nope, gets it killed and then runs off, gets the other one.
Yeah. Reason anyway, I don't play WoW.
Yeah, but there are issues with WoW, but they're going to announce they're working on fixing them.
Mm-hmm.
There is rumor talk. My prediction is going to be they're going to be adding another map that they'll rotate between either like every week. There's going to be like 1 week you'll do Eternal Battlegrounds, then 1 week you're going to do this other map, or that same scenario but with Borderlands. So there's always going to be Eternal, but then the Borderlands will change to the new Borderlands, and then the next week it goes back to the old Borderlands.
Okay, that could be fun.
That could be interesting. I think that would be a lot more interesting than just changing the Eternal.
Yeah, they've said they're not going to get rid of any of their old maps, but they hinted like that doesn't mean that we're not making new maps. Mm-hmm. And so either there's going to be a fifth map people can get into, or they're going to rotate.
Well, and I believe like wasn't their original plan to change once every couple of weeks as opposed to every week, or have they hit that yet?
They said that they were going to do it every 2 weeks. We change, we rotate in the rankings.
Yeah, is that already started, or is that still?
No, we've been at 1 week rotations.
Okay. So that's what I'm wondering. Like if they add this new map in there, and at the time that they change it over to 2 weeks, then that negates any possible imbalance issues. Where if you're still at a week rotation, like you can end up having like a strong week with this map and a weak week with that map. So, like, them kind of rolling out these new maps, like, right alongside upping it to a 2 week rotation, kind of negates that imbalance problem.
Really, if that's the reason why they're doing that, is to balance, like, the map rotations, I think it'd be better for them to have all the servers rotate colors.
Well, yeah, no. I'm not saying they're doing it as a means of
that I don't really want to get into right now.
Yeah, I'm not saying they're doing it as a means of balancing. I'm just saying, like, that would negate any possible imbalance issues if they were to introduce these maps and still keep it at 1 week rotations.
The big thing that I'm on the fence about still is they're talking about wanting to. Well, of course, calling is going to get fixed.
Wait, so what?
I never
that?
Really cared about.
So
calling is. Here's the problem with calling, and why it took so long for them to fix. Because
wait, what is calling? I have no idea what that is.
Let me get to that. Calling was their fix, their way to allow more people into WoW maps, so it would be this bigger dynamic fight. Basically what happens is when the game's loading for you and having to like transmit all these different assets, with MMOs, especially with like Guild Wars, players are very high polygon counts and cost load times, load data. Right. And so when it comes to transferring this information, some of the things they thought would be smart to sacrifice is if there's so many players, we just won't like they'll be lower in the loading queue than other stuff, like loading this the background, the points, and all that. Mm-hmm. And so what people would do is they would stack up in this ball of 50 and run on top of enemies that were spread out, and the people didn't see this pack of 50 until they were right on top of them and they were half damaging them.
Okay.
Wow. Yeah, it's a real big problem. It's a smart
It's really
solution on paper for a problem that like Star Wars struggled with early on with their Ilum stuff, and they eventually just pulled Ilum out of the game essentially. Mm-hmm. So like this was
hilarious.
Yeah, so like this is a smart like possible solution for that. But yeah, like it doesn't work when you're being hit by a bunch of people you can't see.
Yeah. No. There was a week or two where they would like test like, hey, we think we have this fixed. We're going to see if this helps solve the issue. And if so, we're going to go into further development on it. Mm-hmm. Basically changing around the order in which it would load players first and then like load animations on a fort next or something.
Right.
And so they played around with that. They think this is going to be a big step towards fixing it with the January update.
This one sounds way better. So, they're doing what I thought they would have been doing in the first place. I guess it sounds easier on paper than it probably is to actually do. So instead of actually just changing the order in which things load, what they're doing now is they've actually put in like an Unreal-esque type of thing where a player only loads like a low poly version or a low like texture quality version, then continually loads more as he becomes more relevant. So the player will immediately be there in a low poly version, and which means you can see them, which is probably the most important thing about the entire loading process. And then after that, it can actually fill in the details. So it's doing like a segmented loading version, which is faster and could obviously fix the problem in a really interesting and way I thought they would have done it earlier. Because a lot of games do that for textures in general. So it's pretty cool.
But the big thing that I'm on the fence about is what they've said with they want to try and pull away from the whole need for calling in the first place, and that is the Zerg mentality, or it's basically everyone balling up in this big group to get stuff done.
Right.
And that is they want to increase the rewards for I'm pretty sure they said defending, but also just not doing these big fights.
Right.
So they're sort of hinting at like they want to reward people for doing small fights and for defending. I wish I like before the podcast found a way to like get that word for word from their live stream. But basically the last time they tried doing this was at the start of the game when you would get experience and like karma and money for escorting yaks and defending them. Or dull yaks, I'm sorry.
Yeah.
Basically, that's the stuff that goes from supply depot to a tower.
Yeah.
And what you would have 30, 40, 50 people stack up there and not fighting to attack a point. Mm-hmm. And so like one or two people come to try and kill the yak and they get wasted. But the bulk of people are just these botters, AFKers and whatnot, just farming XP off these yaks.
Right.
And I hope they can find a way to get people to these are like other things that are necessary. While still not stopping farmers from just queuing up the maps.
Mm.
I don't know.
Man, yeah.
Everyone I see on Skype just this bored look.
it's lovable. Because
this is why.
Okay, so it was a pretty huge little news event because they did talk about Wolf, but they talked about a shitload of things during this because I've been pretty out of Guild Wars 2, so surprise, surprise. So I came back and looked at this.
Guessing just segues into Wov, and I was getting through the list. But yeah, they talked about it.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, I will say, like, I real quickly, I am very interested in doing Wov, but I think at this point, really, what it comes down to for me is really going to be this 28th update. Like, once the free transfers are out, I will be exponentially more excited about Wov than I have been in the past.
Yeah, that's definitely a thing. So, what they've announced during this pretty large developer live stream was essentially their plans for 2013, this year. What they're going to be doing this year in Guild Wars 2 in terms of updates, at least in terms of what they can announce at the moment. Obviously, they have not, to put this out front, said anything about expansions. In fact, they didn't really say anything about new like world.
Well, Josh
content.
Did say something, but we signed too many NDAs to talk about it.
Yeah, yeah. Last time,
did I? Did.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. I mean, we weren't supposed to even mention that. Maybe.
All right. In a couple of weeks, we'll be breaking like 12 NDAs to bring you exclusive info. So yeah. Just hang on tight, guys.
Uh-huh.
Hang on tight.
You guys need the number for a good lawyer when you do that.
Wait, is he out of grad school? Is that is it not you? Because that's all I really
it's
care about. It's not you. Then it's fine.
Like,
what?
If you ever need anything, you know who to turn to. Someone else.
Aside from that, they've talked about the bunch of stuff they're changing in pretty much every element of Guild Wars. So PvE, structured PvP, and WoW, as well as some dungeon stuff. Who else has read this whole thing? Because there's a transcript up on Guild Wars 2 Guru.
So that's actually one thing I was going to mention is I really wish that Guild Wars 2 ArenaNet would do a little bit better job of putting their Twitch channel kind of out there.
Yeah.
Because I went to go try to find the video. I wasn't able to watch it live. Mm-hmm. And
like it on Facebook and you get all the Facebook updates.
I could I couldn't find them on Twitch anywhere. I don't believe it's anywhere on their main site. Like
I can link like some of the stuff.
They advertised it a day before on their site. It was like, wouldn't they normally say, "Hey, we've got this up." It's like there was this patch today. They just had that up there for like, "Hey, we've got a live stream coming tomorrow."
Yeah, but aside from that, it kind of just either way, they had this, and they did talk about what they do for 2013. So I'm looking at the list on the front page. It was 2 Guru. It's split to multiple parts. Having read just the first one, I can say that. Which ones do you guys want to talk about first? There's WoW. Therbleton pretty much talked about the biggest WoW change, which is about culling and so on and so forth. Like, for in general, like to boil it down and not talk about this stuff later because I don't think that particularly interesting. One of the things they did they're talking about for every type of the game, so all three segments of the game were. They want to be to give more rewards, specifically like achievements and stuff. So they're overhauling many versions of the achievement system. So the PvP reward system, the achievement system and stuff like that to just give people like better or more engrossing achievements. Is anyone excited about that in general?
Yeah.
Woo! I'm excited about that.
Okay.
There's cool.
Do you think it's
first off, they need to do like it's retro and they haven't released all the it's retroactive. So
yeah.
All of, like,
it will be retro that they have announced and said it might. I've seen more. I've read things that said it's not going to be retroactive at the start.
Well, yeah, it's. We'll talk more about it as they release more info, I guess.
Yeah,
they're achievements will be a currency. Woohoo!
That's
one other thing I want to quickly go over about the culling. Is it's not just WoW applications.
PvE as well.
Cynic, I believe you did a little bit of the Lost Shores content, right?
Yep.
Defending of Lion's Arch.
Yep.
there was some culling there.
That is culling. That is what culling is when you take two steps and then 50 more people load right in front of you.
Yeah.
Right. So hopefully if they find a way to fix culling so it's non-existent in WoW,
mm-hmm.
they might bring back some of these big events. Hopefully with a better story design than just, like, defend the most populated city that has the most, like, loading assets.
Yep.
That last event when I was lagging so bad, I just had people to tell me whether or not I was safe, and then a minute later I would find out if I had died or not.
Man, I don't know.
Culling is a PvE thing as well. Not necessarily an SPvP thing.
No.
Which we can talk about all the SPvP updates, because there's a lot of cool ones.
So going back to achievements, I think they should do more rewarding achievements, like achievements that have like an end reward, which is like a really good idea. Because especially for I don't want to go back to Guild Wars constantly, but Guild Wars 1, you have the Hall of Monuments and like Guild Wars 2 rewards that you get from doing these titles. Yeah. And I think when you give these achievements an end goal, like you're going to get something out of them, you're giving people a reason to do these achievements. Because a lot of these achievements are like, yeah, sure, they don't even give titles, half of them. Mm-hmm. So, like, what's the point in doing them?
And Noob, I think you can definitely appreciate this as well, having dabbled a bit in the Secret World recently. But, like, maybe make some of those early achievements that you get.
Costumes?
Make them gym achievements. Like, give you some gyms.
Oh, no, fuck. I thought you were going to say costumes.
No.
There.
What I mean is, like, give you some gyms to, like, as a new player coming into the game. Right. Have a reason to go and check out their gym store. Because that's probably one of the biggest failings, I feel like, with this game compared to other games that have done similar systems, is they have no They have no in progression system that pushes you into that gym store and shows you, hey, look what we have here that you can buy.
Here's a training code.
They almost hit the mark. They just need to explain what they're doing. Is because when you do the personal store, you get things like Lion's Arch keys,
right?
And but the stuff thing like is, that.
Like for reference,
they don't tie that in with the gym store. Though
the way that the Secret World handles that is once you have completed 30 quests game. They straight up give you currency for the in-game store to go and buy stuff with.
I think the Secret World just generally does a good job in tutorials and Guild Wars.
Well, yes, that is good. I will 100% agree with that.
Yeah. I was gonna say they should give us costumes for completing.
They would have to put more costumes into the game.
One of the rewards they have listed, like this, is just like a screen grab that none of this could be the same when they release it, but it does say like warrior gear, elementalist gear, necromancer gear. This could be a special like gear set, so it could be new skins.
That's really cool. They're doing that. I still feel like they need to do something to push new players into the gym store.
Well, let's talk about the gym store later.
Then again, they need to release new fucking costumes in the gym store to give people a reason to beat.
If they release new stuff,
all the costumes. What is this?
They haven't released anything other than fucking.
Let's just put it this way: further down in the interview, they actually do talk about the gym store. Aside from the fact that obviously that they will obviously be working on putting more stuff in the gym store, what their future plans for the gym store to expand it, so on and so forth. But the reason they want to expand it is because apparently the gem store has allowed them to have a live team, which is 15 to 20 times the size of the live team in the original Guild Wars.
So the gem store is doing well then?
It's doing really, really well, apparently.
That is actually really good to hear.
Probably know the size of the original Guild Wars.
With Guild Wars 2 being the company, the game, I feel like that really has pioneered this kind of... people have said that other games have done a similar system in the past, but I don't feel like any game has done it quite in the way that Guild Wars 2 has done it. Mm-hmm. And so to see them kind of pioneering this and doing so incredibly successfully, like that's really, really good to hear, especially for kind of the future of the genre.
Yeah. Right. So, but that aside, like, for actual things that matter to in terms of gameplay, just to touch on achievements, that they're just going to expand what you get achievements for. They're going to have achievements for like doing all the jumping puzzles and stuff like that. And I think there's already some along those lines, but just expanding it.
I want more titles.
Riven, question for you. The pseudo former Dungeoneer, now head Fractal Leader.
Yep.
What is your, and Durin, I guess, could ask this too, since you're a WoW vet. Mm-hmm. They had, the achievements for doing random things in dungeons.
Mm-hmm.
Do you think that's something you would like to see or we should see with the dungeon revamping that we're expecting in the months to come?
It is something I would like to see, as long as that dungeon revamping means fixing the mechanics of the fights so that they are doable. Well,
we will get into the actual revamping, but the idea of special achievements for
and I understand we're going to get into that, but the reason I put that caveat on there is because those fights are so fucked right now without exploiting that I feel like, yes, that would be really nice. But it's kind of a moot point until that has been fixed.
That's for games. So, yes, moving on to things that actually matter for gameplay.
Wait. Cynic, do you remember a time in the past when Fractals first came out and we were like the highest leveled in the guild?
Yeah, that was pretty Fractals? Fun.
Do you remember that?
Yes, I remember that.
those were the days. Yeah,
that was great. Well, I like new content.
What are you up to, 80?
Huh?
What are you, like level 80 Fractal, level 60 Fractal?
Me?
Yeah.
I stopped at 41.
Oh, God. Jesus. I'm still level 5.
I think I'm at 3.
So, yeah, which ones do you guys want to talk about first? Wolf, PvE, or SPV?
I'm really thinking about Wolf, but
we could talk about Fractals real fast because those are getting improved as well.
Okay. Yeah.
With January.
Sure.
So,
Riven, are you up to date on what's changing with that?
They're adding a way that people from higher. They're giving people from higher level fractals a reason to go back and help people from lower level fractals. So at the end of the month update, if I run a group for a 20, let's say I get a group for a 20 fractal, and
what's Thibleton doing? What's Thibleton? Yeah, we're on video.
I posted the link
down
in Skype.
To the
click it.
He's pointing down to the link in Skype, so I can click on it, and I'm not. Let's say. Let's say I run a level 53 fractal, and I invite two people who
are
on level 21. Pretty much, yeah. Okay. So I invite three people who are on a level 21 fractal and someone who is on a level 2 fractal.
Uh-huh.
When we complete the level 53 fractal and all these people have died because they haven't they have no agony resistance.
Yep.
They will all go up one fractal level except for me. I will gain karma for helping them.
Okay. So wait, did you – is this only on the higher level of fractals, or if you're – would you be doing this if you're doing level 2?
I believe it's everything above level 10, right?
No, it's when it would be whenever.
Yeah, I think it's whenever. I think how it works is like basically you will stop seeing people asking for looking for level like fractal level 2 or something, and you'll just see, hey, we're doing the fractal like level 10 because that's or like level 9 because that's level 9 is the highest one. 1 through 9 is the exact same level of difficulty. Then 10 through 19 is the same level of difficulty or what?
Agony. At a certain point, agony jumps up a bit.
Agony gets introduced at level 10. So basically, if you had if you'll not see level 1 anymore, you'll see everyone doing level 9.
Right.
And then anybody who's below that level will start gaining up to level 9.
Mm-hmm.
And then
just by doing it,
just by doing it. Anybody who's above that level will be level. Will just be getting karma.
Yeah. Which is kind of
you
cool.
Just need one person who's above level 9 or at level 9 to start it.
Right.
And also, you can get back in there, right? If you get disconnected.
Yeah, that's
the plan. That was for me the biggest of the announcements. They're actually putting in that you can rejoin fractals. Fucking
well, what? It was kind of crazy how like it made sense why it didn't work before, and
yeah,
I'm impressed that they found a way to work around it because the fractal levels are based off of your personal story levels. It's like it's another personal story that just doesn't have any names, and it's just 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. And so, like, that's the reason why when one person, like, when people join when they're at the same level and they progressed, that's because when you join someone's personal story and it's the same story, your story progresses as well. And also, when you leave, you can't get back in.
Right, but it's still a dungeon.
That's the thing. Like that's all nice and everything. But from a gameplay standpoint, it really comes down to like. Ease of gameplay, and for that, like you have to put the gameplay before the story.
Like there were times when me and Noob had to complete an entire set of three fractions with just three people, because two people just
I've done that in level 40 fractals where there's just been three people doing the last fractal.
Yeah, which
as somebody who has played a lot of WoW and everything, I'm becoming less and less interested in the model of the fractals because they, in a lot of ways, they feel a lot like the old style of raiding in WoW, which is not something I'm generally very fond of, which is essentially like building out a set of gear specifically for this one thing.
Fucking cannot stand it.
That you will fucking never use anywhere else. Because like agony resistance, never going to use it anywhere else. Back in old school WoW, for anybody who's listening, you know, vanilla WoW raiding, fire resist gear. You have
Anixia.
Never going to use it anywhere else.
Yeah.
Getting your
100% agree. 100%
yeah, it's, and that's why, like, as long as if fractals continue to exist as a parallel to raid or to dungeoning, then sure, I'm okay with that because you will continue to use the fractals for that gear or for that, or the gear for those fractals and, you know, continue progressing through that. I just see it as I see it as being okay as long as it is a parallel progression as opposed to standard dungeoneering.
Right. But so those are the two main changes to fractals. I don't believe they said anywhere whether they're adding new fractals.
They haven't. And they also haven't said anything about adding new gear.
Which is...
But I am assuming that they will just because it's like it's an entire fractal up there.
Maybe that will be like the February update.
Maybe. But yeah,
now they're working on improvements, and then they'll work on.
But I'm just gonna say, if they don't do any, like they have to do something in this update. One with gear, and two with all of the rings that people have. I have at least 50 rings that I'm not wearing.
Nice, nice. Yeah, my
warrior, my level 19 warrior already has like 6 rings that are just set aside. For her, just for all right, this is going to be the tank, this is going to be DPS, this is going to be the bleeds rings.
Yeah, I don't know.
It's crazy.
In terms of actual drops and so on and so forth, and what they're doing with gear.
The drops in fractals are crazy at higher levels.
Yeah, like they're... We'll see how they progress in terms of how the economy works that out. Because at the moment, to me, it doesn't seem as if the economy is balancing out the changes in gear they've made yet. But they have thankfully said that they will not be introducing another set of gear between Ascended and Legendary. So they're keeping it as it is now. Ascended is still the top, inverted commas, top tier guild. I'm sorry, top tier and gear.
Something to sort of I don't want to say look forward to, but observe from like how this is going to play out that I'm interested in, I guess, is they're saying they're going to add ascended items outside of Fractals of the Mist. Like they've said through the achievement system, through world versus world. We're not sure if it's with the new ranking system that they said they're going to announce out. That's not till February, so that's why we're not talking about it.
Yeah.
But then also, is this going to be like only Agony for Fractals, or is it going to have other stuff too? Is it going to play into the dungeon revamp or what? But I mean that's something we can look forward to over the next few weeks and months to talk about.
Yeah.
A lot of these things that we're trying to only announce to talk about the things that are coming out soon, mm-hmm. and it's very hard because Arena does a lousy job of saying this is what we're working on soon and this is what we're working on for the rest of the year.
Well, and then we have all those NDAs that we've signed and everything too, so it's real hard to just
So
remember
many.
What we can't
once
talk
again.
About.
I haven't signed any of these NDAs.
Brevin just don't know shit. That's the difference here.
I'm not afraid to break an NDA.
That's essentially the difference to Fractals. For overall dungeons, I don't see too much talk here off dungeons themselves. Does anyone?
They're talking about revamps and changing.
I know one of the big things they're making is that they plan on changing it so that once a boss fight is engaged, when you die, you cannot re-enter the fight until the boss fight is over. Goes back to they need to fix the fuck out of those fights before they
die. I want the way we handle Lupicus now, it would literally be four people doing that fight because I'm not going to call people out, but some people just get hit every time and die.
That's not even
Lupicus. That's something that is like – it's
and one of the fights – this is the first time I had done the dungeon. One of the fights – is that the one where basically you go in one at a time and just fight until you die and then send this? Yeah. Like that won't work anymore.
Also, they've changed that. It used to be a lot easier where you would just run around the room. Now, everyone would stay in there. Now, you run in one at a time because that's easier.
It's like they're identifying that just like making it so people can't waypoint is the issue. They're looking at this for the revamp of like, why are they doing that? Well, it's because like, for example, I love the Lupicus and like the Subject Alpha fights, but with those, you are going to have people who just have to constantly run back in. If they found a way to make it so like they want to make it so that people aren't just doing that and one person is just avoiding damage and not dying. And hopefully this means we are going to see health pools drop, but you can't run back. It's a 5-minute fight instead of a 10-minute fight.
So in general, they apparently revenue, you're going to have to weigh in on this. Apparently they want to redesign pretty much every boss fight in the game, to resemble more like what they're doing in inverted commas in the Fractals.
Oh God!
What does that mean? What does that mean?
Well, there's no waypoints in any. There's no waypoints in Fractals.
Yeah,
you know that. So when you die, you have to. Someone dies in combat. It's a combat res. You have a thief drop combat, or you have someone kite the enemy, kite the boss around while everyone else reses him.
Right.
Well, they're like they're
that,
like
or if everyone dies, you just go back.
Yeah, there are checkpoints.
Yeah.
But I mean, like it. If it's kind of a long boss fight or like you're halfway through, you just have someone go over there and res them.
Yeah. To me, it sounds awesome because the general what they couch that in is they want to change all the boss fights to give them more mechanics. And the reason that won't happen particularly soon is because they apparently have to make the tools to allow them to re-script the boss fights to make them closer to what they are in the Fractals. But how my understanding is they'll be more like the more interesting boss fights that you see in the Fractals. Like, for example, the one we always call out is the one in the snow.
Snowblind.
Yeah, Snowblind. Yeah. They want to give them interesting mechanics like that, and to do that, they have to remake all the boss fight tools. But they have announced that they want to.
So you're telling me they're going to have to redo the tools to allow them to make edits to the scripting of the boss fights they've already created.
To make them more complex. So essentially, they have tools to make them as they are now, but obviously...
They basically boss fights said, like, it's...
Okay. That's where my confusion came in, because I thought you were saying, basically, they currently had no means of changing those boss fights.
They have to remake the tools to make them more complex.
Okay, that scared me a little bit.
This is world bosses.
Well, because like we're talking, we're also talking. I mean, we're talking about the company who like had no means of recovering gear.
Yeah.
But so that wouldn't have surprised me.
Yeah. In this case, it's the, as Doubleton's been trying to say, it's this is going to cover all bosses, and they want to make them more interesting, which I can't wait for. Because for me, the only boss fight I truly love in Guild Wars 2, like love the depth of my heart, was the unbalanced, ridiculously hard flame elemental in the Asura starting era.
So I've done that. I did that before they fixed it and after they fixed it. It's a joke since they fixed
it. Yeah, exactly. I loved it before it was fixed.
I mean, if I made the mistake of standing in that fire before they fixed it, I was dead.
Like, instigibs. Just gone.
Not even like a second to think about it. Just
I'd really like to see.
I fucking ran up to the boss and just.
And just hit one?
Hit one and alt tapped out.
Yep.
I'd really like to see more fights like the first boss in Asclepion Explorable.
Oh, yeah.
Not the spider boss, the ghost boss.
Mm-hmm.
But just more like. If you do not avoid this guy's attack, you die. The attack's easy to see.
Yeah.
But it's, like, it's, that it's is well one shown. Of the bosses.
Even if you have four guardians, you rotate Wall of Reflection, you never get hit by that attack.
Hey, they're having to actively watch when an attack is coming and use an ability like Dodge or Reflection.
No, because they just have to make sure Guardians, the cooldown period is long enough, they won't actually matter.
Oh, Guardians.
We'll get to that Guardians, in a second, because I also talked about what they're doing for rebalancing classes. But so they want to add more complexity to the boss fights, which is, in my opinion, something that was severely lacking in the past for the majority of boss fights. And now,
definitely.
Hopefully, it's going to get better.
But again, I reckon that's going to come out in March.
Yes, they have to make the tool. Like, they specifically couch this in their plans for the whole year. Aside from that,
And also they wouldn't announce that they're doing this unless they're already deep in development on the tools.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, let's face it, the internet takes a while for announcing stuff.
Mm-hmm. They also wanted to overhaul the LFG mechanic. I think we've talked about in the past, have we?
What LFG mechanic?
You mean that website?
.com works.
Sorry, what was that, Revan?
You mean GuildWarsLookFor2.com? The site they've plugged in the official forms to say to use?
They haven't told us what they're doing.
Still managing to stay up, but not having any ads. So, like, hats off to the people donating to it.
Right. But yeah, they haven't shown.
I use that site, I should probably donate to it.
I guess, like, on the subject of crazy guardians, backtracking a little bit, do we want to just talk about them reworking professions like professions that can do AoEs?
So, probably the biggest change in terms of actual gameplay on this is a straight up AoE rebalancing for the whole game, is what they're trying to do.
Area of effect.
That's what AoE stand for. I thought it stood for something else.
Who here has a strong opinion about this? Who doesn't play Ellie? I have my hand up.
I don't play
Ellie. Yes, I have an opinion on this.
I have an Ellie, but I don't play much.
I've been playing my Ellie a bit, but I do use the staff, but it's... I have no problem with the staff Ellie. I haven't done enough with the Necro Ellie, but I feel like it's a balance of...
I think he means Necro staff.
But they are like the AoE is dangerous, but it's also very easy to counter.
Mm-hmm. And it's only dangerous to five people.
What they've been saying though, here's why they want to balance it is because apparently people have been using AoE instead of a single target ability when they're just fighting one or two people.
They're saying is that, like, for instance, in dungeons and things, people are using staff almost exclusively instead of using. I don't know, dagger because it's not as useful as staff is.
Like, just straight up.
So instead of buffing the other ones that are broken, they're going to just nerf staff.
Durin's not hurt about this.
So mad.
That's actually not the case, Durin. What they've said has been is specifically they finally realized that the opportunity cost for AoE in general in Guild Wars 2 is pretty broken. In that their example was, if a skill does 10 damage in single target, but your alternative skill does 8 damage in AoE, obviously you'd be using the 8 damage one, no matter your circumstance, because you have a limited skill set. You'd pick that one. And that applies throughout most of the game. So what they found is that this is a general unbalancing of how much AoE damage is just awesome to do. Like, skills in general, it's better to have than others, is just the basics of this. So what they're doing is they're trying to figure out a way to reduce AoE damage opportunity costs. So whether that be by rebalancing skills to longer cooldowns or introducing enemy resistances, stuff like that, haven't said.
So wouldn't the easiest way to do it would basically be like how most every other game out there does it, and that is that, especially in, like, say, non-PvP, reduce the amount of damage per target that it does, but increase the number of targets that it affects.
That is
so. For instance,
very
if single target does ten, if single that, target, that if single target like, does 10 damage, to a single person, then maybe have an AoE do like say 5 damage.
Yeah.
To 10 targets.
Yeah.
How about 2 damage to 5 targets and divided equally?
How about 1 damage to 3 targets?
And the reason I propose that instead of like say an enemy resistance is the enemy resistance thing becomes a fucking nightmare.
Yeah, I think
to
that's
balance.
The dumbest. That's the worst. Enemy resistance is the worst way to handle this problem.
And it sounds like from the mumblings I'm hearing that is kind of the one that's
the
on
one
the table
they're leaning
right
towards.
Now.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's mainly
well,
because
it's like,
go ahead.
Well, first off, this is something that, while they've announced it, this is I think this is going to be like, you know, fit like this change is going to go into effect after the March update. I think it's a ways off.
Yeah.
But like for me, when I'm using it more as a scare tactic, less the damage thing.
Right.
So like that's first. Whenever I switch to in WoW, mm-hmm.
yeah.
is like, okay, I need to use this to hold them back.
Yeah, like I'm going
to
drop it right in front of them.
Right. Yeah.
But
it's
that's kind of the problem.
They say
here.
They don't have to change it to just like defensive. Mm-hmm. They could adjust the radius or the frequency of the AoE or the max targets is another thing. I don't think they're going to go with more targets, less damage per target, only because other MMOs do that, and Guild Wars ArenaNet has been trying their best to not copy other MMOs.
See, that's the thing, though.
Almost out of their way.
They kind of need to get over themselves because that is – like there's a reason other MMOs do that is because it fucking works.
So the other side of this is –
don't fix it.
And this is the side that actually scares me. As a person who did spend in the past a lot of time in structured PvP, is – well, maybe Durin would be hyped about it because he's a dagger Ellie. But they want to increase the effectiveness of single target damage as well.
Fuck yeah. I'm all for that.
As a person who pretty much tabbed out when it was a 50-50 chance for me to take out a fucking dagger's assassin, and I was using my skill, yeah. every piece of skill available to me in terms of actual player skill, and he was just smashing one button.
I forgot about the goddamn thieves.
Goddamn thieves.
Not only that, but the fact that like even as a dagger Ellie, I'm still not single target.
Yeah. When they say
Guardian,
they're upping single target damage.
So what they need to do is they need to reduce single target damage. They need to dramatically reduce AoE damage.
Uh-huh.
But they need to increase chain and conal damage.
That'd be pretty cool. That would be pretty cool. I would adjust that and say because thieves are slowly getting more and more nerfed.
Well, single target can stay as it is.
Exactly. Single target stays as it is. Reduce AoE and kind of play with what you can do with directional damage. I love the idea of directional damage.
Yeah, directional damage really definitely needs to be looked at because it's by far the most strategic type of damage.
Yeah, I love it.
But at the same time, it's the hardest one to do because it is so strategic,
mm-hmm.
but it also yields the worst results.
Yeah, which it should not
in
be
terms
the case.
Of just raw damage.
Like fire flame breath of what it was is just pitiful, and it's never been good.
And like
it looks so cool.
The Guardians,
the fact that like a thief that can literally just sit there and just smash Heartseeker can do more damage than an Ellie who is having to swap between four fucking things and use constant directional damage.
Mm-hmm.
That becomes a problem.
Yeah. So,
two things. Okay. One, I think I found a fix for Heartseeker, but Arena will probably never use it because it's too crazy of a thing. But every time you use Heartseeker, you get a debuff that makes it so your next Heartseeker costs more
I'd prefer if whenever, because it's kind of a throwback to original Guild Wars. If you, the more you use, for the thieves in general, the more you use some of their really high damage single target attacks, like the really high damage, keep them really high damage, but as you're using them, you can take more damage.
Yeah, I could see that.
That would be good.
Honestly, like a really easy fix, I feel like, would be, you know, reduce the damage, but like supplement that with bleed damage.
Oh yeah, yeah. That's also terrifying for either of those.
Those are much easier fixes because like every time you use Heartseeker, you get 5 stacks of vulnerability.
Yeah.
Opposed to a debuff they have to make on their own.
Yeah.
That would make it like implement. The other thing that they need to do with all this is really help out engineers, because if they get rid of grenade engineers, there's really nothing left.
So well, apparently they're happy with where grenades are.
Engineers are our bigger problem.
I feel my heart goes out to engineers.
Yeah.
So I guess we can move on to
anybody out there who's still playing one as a main, like, damn.
So they have some funky builds that are funny and like you have a good time with them, but there's really no good builds.
Like you don't play to win.
People see an engineer in fractals, they get really happy because they can make the harpy fractal a lot shorter.
Yeah.
You can skip. You can skip the second harpy section.
You're appreciated there, engineer.
So let's move from AoE damage,
but if we have an Asura, they can do the same thing, so we don't really need the engineer.
To overall cost balancing.
If we had the choice between a ranger of any race and, let's say, an Asura guardian, we're probably going to take the Asura guardian.
Hey, I have that character. Anyway. The main thing is they've actually openly admitted that some classes are just not fulfilling their intended role at the moment, which is good that they've at least admitted that.
Yeah, it's good. It's good that they finally, 4 months in, have recognized that.
Yeah, it's a bit late. It's a bit late, and this is kind of why I tapped out of PvP.
I'm not bitter.
A couple months ago, because I kind of saw where this was going anyway. But yeah, so. There's a couple things that they want to change. They obviously recognize that a bunch of the weapons with a bunch of the classes are still not useful. They realize that people like playing in the, I think they called it like bunker builds. I forget what their name.
Yeah, basically turtle builds.
Yes, the terminology I'd use, but yeah. Essentially, tanks.
Ellie's pretty much like, if they don't have any staff Ellie's, they have to go bunker.
Yeah,
which is like basically they
well, it's not
jump
even that.
Around,
it's
but
that some of the staff LE builds, bunker builds, and some of the mesmer bunker builds are just almost unkillable at the moment and just not fun to fight against. And they've said that themselves. So they apparently staff LE bunker is on their watch list, and what that means is there's literally a person at ArenaNet who watches videos of people playing staff LE all day. And to see if they're unbalanced.
What a fulfilling job.
Because guess what? It's not fun to play either.
And, well, on the other side of that, I look at that and say, well, I could have watched 1 hour and told you it was broken. You don't need.
I could have told you the first time I ran across a dagger Ellie and thought they were cheating.
Yeah.
But see, the thing though, Revenant, to be fair, they also couldn't do shit for damage to you.
Yeah,
for I want to put they up for question: is a thief that bursts everything, and then when you survive his attacks and you go to attack him, he stealths for 10-15 seconds until his initiative comes up, and he does it to you again?
Yep.
Is that a bunker thief?
I think that's called broken as fuck.
Oh, broken as fuck. Okay, right. I had the two confused.
Right.
Okay.
Yeah. So
that's the thing. That is annoying, ArenaNet.
Which is, again, why I'm kind of scared when they're saying that they're concerned for single target damage, because I don't think that, there's other issues at work here.
Single target is fine. I've seen thieves, I've seen warriors. Single target is fine.
Yeah.
Just do everything, do one damage, and then no one will ever complain.
There was a boss in Fractals that when he hits you with an attack and you look at the damage log, it would just say he did 8 damage when it took half your health off.
Illusion.
Their statements
actually does it.
We want every single class to deal with situations in a unique manner. Blah blah blah. like just like rehashing what they've said since the beginning of the game. But further from there, we want to bring all weak weapons and traits on par with the strong weapons builds and traits, in addition to reduce AoE effectiveness. That's a good luck. I want to see if you can do that.
That sounds as somebody who has tried to play a damage based dagger, that sounds like an oxymoron.
Yep, and
they'll fix the guardian damage tree.
It's like we want to reduce your damage, but we want to make you more viable.
Make it useful. Give me a reason to go into that.
Wait. Okay, fair. You can't do much damage, but on the other side of things, I think guardians are still one of the more useful classes.
Don't even start complaining about guardians.
Yeah, I'd say they need to work on some other things before they touch guardians.
That's like getting a thief on here and having them complain that they're not tanky enough.
Yeah,
I think what we need to remind all of us, as well as the listeners and all that, and Durin, I think you can help back me up on this, is there's no way to properly balance an MMO. We're just saying that some of these like professions are very badly in need of help. Well,
yeah, as much as I'll complain about Dagger Ellie, like again, like I'll pour one out to anybody who's playing an engineer right now.
Yeah. Like I would be
okay with Ellie's not getting touched if it means that the engineers become a viable class.
But the issue is more people are playing Ellie's, and so they're looking at the arena's looking at them.
Yeah,
they're like month to month update to update. There will be like, this is the most, like, this is the best profession at the time.
Yeah.
And so we'll see more people playing that profession. What happens, like, what's annoying for me as like a like field commander, I don't want to call myself like a big commander. I like doing hit and run stuff, but I look in the group and I'm like, okay, I need to find all the elementalists and guardians because they can block siege, which I'm not sure if it's an exploit or intended or something, but I look around and all I see is like, rangers and warriors and thieves. I don't see any guardians. I barely see a necro. I'm usually the only mesmer, maybe one other.
Right.
And it's like, that's the flavors of the month are these, like these other classes or mm-hmm. professions. I'm trying to say professions. I'm trying.
And finally, they're saying, they say classes themselves. A lot of the classes have, because the individual Guild Wars was classes. A lot of the classes have 1 to 2 good builds, while some have 5 to 6 builds.
It was professions in the original Guild Wars.
Really? Fucking crazy.
Yeah. All remember? Right, sure. Secondary professions. Anyway.
Anyway, a lot of the classes have 1 to 2 good builds, while some have 5 to 6 builds. We want to bring all these classes up to 5 to 6 good, viable builds. They have been saying that since release. As a person who, for a long time, kept track of how many good builds there were, I'll believe it when I see it. But yeah.
Yeah, that's pretty much how I take all of these releases they put out. Like, here are our plans for the future. This is what we want to do. We want to make this better. We want to make that better. We want to make this more balanced. Yeah. None of it fucking matters until it hits the game.
But I guess
until it hits live, it's all, yeah.
From there to SPVP, since it's pretty closely linked in terms of balance. And from there, that they're essentially talking about actual announcements or actual things that they're affirming that they will do. So they are continuing their work on custom arenas and want to get that going, which is good. One of the coolest announcements they've said is that they're certainly going to be putting in a system into structured PvP where lower inverted commas skilled players can fight against other lower skilled players. That finally, like, you mean you're putting in matchmaking?
So yeah, I was just saying matchmaking.
The thing I've been asking for since the start of the game? Sure. Yeah. At least they've said they're doing it. And then they're going to be adding things closer and closer to original Guild Wars GVG, which is kind of cool.
I wonder,
does this
like,
mean guild halls, guild battles?
That's a tricky concept right now because they have a server browser.
Yeah.
Do you think that they're just going to make it so that like there's the list of ArenaNet like official ones that you have to – it's basically like ranked matches – like pick up ranked matches, but then that's going to be the join right away option, and then right. The new list is going to be custom arenas with their own names.
Well, it sounds like custom arenas. Custom arenas sound like they're going to be their part of the tournament system rather than the open browsing system. So what they've said here is they're adding, for example, a 1v1 tournament system, which is what GVG would have been. One team versus one team, not one person versus one person. Revan just came back. Thank you, Revan. So one team versus one team, which is going to be a paid tournament system in that you have to set it up. I think you have to pay for it in some means, and it has reduced cost and reduced rewards, but I'd be far more interested in doing that than some of the other tournament systems that they've tossed around and the one that's currently in the game, because it is essentially close and close to GVG. They'll be introducing, they're considering moving Temple of Silent Storm into actual tournament rotation, like real tournament rotation, which is cool because that's one of my favorite maps. That's
the, hey, you know what? If they want to, right? If they want to put that in tournament rotation,
yep,
and get Raid on the Capricorn out, I am okay with that.
I am definitely okay with the last part of that.
And
it's, they've actually said they like, not in, in no, not too subtle terms, they know that there's an issue with Raid on the Capricorn, and they're talking about ways to fix that.
It's amongst, called, like, removing so, it.
And
it's called underwater combat is bad.
No, it's more that there really wasn't, like, enough of it in there to, for it to matter.
I really like.
You can't get an exotic underwater rebreather. You're stuck with the
I just want to point out
that's the larger problem.
Right now, Revan is wearing an N7 Mass Effect jacket. Oh, I'd like to applaud him.
Man. Your rebreather makes you sound like Bane.
Before 3 came out, I would have totally loved that jacket.
I bought it before 3 came out.
Yeah, yeah, everyone kind of did, huh? I'm happy I held off. So, and then lastly, they're going to add PvP specific armor skins, which I think some of the people in our guild here would be very interested in. User Staytrunks, for example, would be very interested in that, which is cool. So, at least in PvP terms, they are literally saying this is what we'll be doing, and most of the things they said there. Oh yeah, they've also announced that they will certainly have esport elements into the game by the end of the year. They're hoping to anyway, so that includes Spectator mode.
Yeah, I'd say end of the year, not the next few months.
Yeah, Spectator mode is coming by the end of the year. Sure. Again, believe when I see it, and when I see it.
I think Spectator, if I had to guess, summer, I think is when that's going to hit.
Yeah. So that's that. And structure people. So most of the changes are good. I just think they're coming a bit too late, which is kind of unfair in some ways, but fuck it. I'm not playing Guild Wars 2 much at all anymore, and this is kind of why, so whatever.
Well, no, it's not unfair, because a lot of this stuff were things that we felt like maybe weren't promised to be launch or shortly after launch things.
Yeah.
But they certainly built them.
They were actively talking about, like, launch or after launch things, and here we are 4 months in, and they're like, yeah, they'll be in within the next year.
And this is something that, like, I'm happy that it's happening. I'm happy that they're doing all these, like, Twitch, like, channel talks, and they're releasing all this information and everything. Mm-hmm. I just hope it's not just another build up. I hope it's not like 3 months of build up and then 3 months of really quiet. I really hope we start to see just, like, regular interactions with the community.
The funny part of, again, coming from somebody who has played a lot of subscription based MMOs, I'm having a really hard time figuring out how I should feel about this, because part of me, it does feel kind of annoyed that a lot of this stuff isn't in already, and that it's taking them so long to get just some of the more, what I feel like are some of the real basic features into the MMO. It's similar problems that I had with Star Wars back when I played that. But then the other part of me is like, well, I mean, I'm not paying them for it.
Yeah.
So it's not like I'm wasting money by continuing to play the game while I wait for them to put the features in.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, one more final thing I really want to underline is they are finally saying that perhaps CTF and Deathmatch are on the fucking table for PvP.
They're finally saying that perhaps sometime they may add it.
God damn it, guys.
You know what? If nothing else, I think that once they implement the private arenas, that would be the best place to implement that as, like, a beta test.
Dude, fuck, I would love to play CTF. CTF is totally one. What's up, Therapleton? Are you waving? Oh, Nubarama's
good. Yeah, I'm waving to... Nubarama has to go. It's a school night or something for him. I don't know.
It's his bedtime.
Bye, Noob.
So anyway, not going off topic since this is an audio podcast.
Yep. They were waving on our video, and I was wondering what was happening. But
we're playing with the idea of maybe doing something like live shows in the future, but this is Guild Wars talk, so that could be 6 months from now before we do it.
We're talking about maybe sometime implementing live video podcasting.
Yep. And so,
If you're up for that, let us know on Twitter or email us or something.
Yeah.
If you think it's a stupid idea, forget it. Anyway, staying on topic.
Do you guys care about...
Yeah.
I've always wanted TDM, but having played the game more, I don't think the game's built for TDM. Because I don't think the match lasts very long. Like, what's the point of TDM if it lasts about a minute and then everyone's dead? Like, that's essentially what's been happening.
Like CTF, I can get behind.
Yes.
CTF, what I'd really like to see.
Objective-based modes would be more fun.
I very rarely
play team deathmatch modes in games that have them.
Mm-hmm.
Let's see a combination of like the elements from WoW brought into PvP. Maybe just bring this up for like the 8v8 sort of fights, but this is a callback to how old I am, but like I almost want to say this was original Unreal Tournament.
Right.
I think it was a different game, but like an assault mode.
Which is
basically there's defenders, there's attackers, and it's
Counter-Strike. Assault.
I think it might have been. I don't think it was Counter-Strike, though. I think it was games before that.
It existed in Counter-Strike. That's my touchstone. That would be pretty cool.
This was not just Counter-Strike. This was, like, you know how Battlefield 3, or maybe Bad Company 2 or something, but basically, like, there was an attack point, a defend point, but then after that, the fight would just move to another theater of that same map as it would progress.
Oh, okay, right.
Yeah, I remember
and
that.
And basically making it so, like, you know the capture points they use in... In current maps, like in Raid on the Capricorn and Forest of Neverhell, it's more just like the defenders have a very closer spawn, and the attackers have a further away spawn, and they have to make it so that the attackers don't fully cap this point.
Right.
And at the end of that, they switch sides.
And so the other half of this is that aside from those two, and the reason that they're only just on the table is because they've been investigating adding more modes based on the Conquest system, which could very well include that, because from memory, how that worked in UT. Was it like for one example? I think it's UT. One example I'm thinking of, it's like two trains and or something like that. And you start on one end of the train, and one team's objective is to hold off the other team all the way along the entire train to the other side.
But it's like a train that's going through light space or something.
Yeah,
it was weird.
Something like that. And that was incredibly fun because it was based if. You either stop them completely within time limit, or if they beat you to the other side, your objective on the reverse of that, where they're holding you off, is to do it faster than they did. And that was a really interesting and cool.
Yeah, I don't know. Like the problem I have with that though is I don't know that objective based
there's a mode like
PvP,
that in Star Wars.
Why it works as well for Guild Wars 2's combat style.
They've played around with a lot of different ideas, apparently with internal testing.
Yeah,
so they might say yes, we've tried it. It doesn't really work because certain classes are just like certain teams of classes would be better. Man. But they played around with like dodgeball, apparently.
That'd like, be fun.
Like, that is like a mode where like when you kill one person, all the people that person has killed respawn.
So what they need to do is they basically need to just put keg brawl in as a type of PvP.
Yeah, I mean, it's if they just start throwing all these elements in for like the tournament games, which is again something that they hyped up pre-release and still doesn't come out.
Well, and I say that because, like, again, like harkening back to Star Wars, one of the funnest things in that game was fucking Hutball.
Oh God,
Hutball was so fucking good.
No, I'm just saying. I'm like, hearing the Steve Bloom going, "Remember, Huts don't have feet." Oh, the amount of Hutball I played.
And that's,
yeah,
that's
but like just
it.
Having like a structure.
You had the issue of that was that game was broken for certain classes at a point.
Right, right. But I'm saying like having
as a juggernaut, I could move 3/4 of the way across the map with 4 button presses.
But having like a structured like almost sport style PvP could be interesting.
So and pretty much
also,
the last thing
is,
I want to
how are those? I want to know how those projectiles worked for dodgeball. Like, did the person have to be standing still? Did the shots sort of anticipate where they were going so it worked like the scepter one?
Yeah, it better not be like a snowball fight because the snowball fight was terrible.
I
think it was just more the concept of dodgeball where, like, if you killed somebody, the other people would respawn.
Yeah.
Or it would pull something. But,
So the last thing on here that I found really interesting was ore. So they want to change it.
Finally.
They want to make it fun, apparently.
So, pretty much, like, not only that, but just the whole... They realize the fact that...
Solid as a Guardian, I don't know what you're talking about, Derek.
Same as a Warrior, I was fine.
they realize that there's not a... Like, there are a lot of zones that there's not a lot of people in.
Yeah.
And that they need to be improved slightly, let's say.
Uh-huh.
What a lot of people seem to be talking about is a underflow server concept, which ReNet is sort of not they're really not for.
Mm-hmm.
For people who don't know, the concept of the underflow is like the reverse overflow, where you can choose to opt into this underflow server that will apparently have a lot more people than the five people that are in your current map. Instead, what they're talking about doing is improving ore, basically progressing that story some, but then also with going back to the achievements we talked about earlier, they're talking about having special achievements for PvE. I'm not sure if they're daily or I think they're going to be more monthly.
Yeah, monthly. They're big linked to the monthlies.
Or orienting those to like do X events, X number of events inside this zone, or just something to do with progress, like fight in this zone particularly, that will hopefully allow more month to month there's going to be action in these zones.
Yeah. So with Aura and specifically that they're changing the mobs, I'm not saying really how, apparently I think they're – let's see what we have here.
No more mobs that pull you.
Worst thing.
I'm okay with just like the same number of mobs, but just not spread out so much.
So here's the
statement.
Make
it so that there's like...
For the January update, we are thinning out the density of mobs in ore, making more waypoints always active, and adding new rewards from vendors and from drops. We'll also tweak some of the bosses in temples to make them a bit more exciting and for larger groups. And we didn't completely rebuild.
Does that mean Balthazar will work more than 30% of the time?
Well, it doesn't. Balthazar doesn't work because you also have to remember that when guessing is going to begin. So there, you just have to look on Reddit and be like, okay, there's they just did it 30 minutes ago on the server. I can guess over there and get it. It's less about working and more about making it fun.
Yeah.
I think.
And
so, it's so much easier with 5 people than it is with 50.
Absolutely.
I agree.
Absolutely.
It scales so horribly.
It's so dumb.
Scales so painfully when you hit a certain number. Yes. And people don't pay attention and don't know and don't realize, you know, so I'm just lying here. Someone will eventually res me when we have a timer on this mission.
God damn it.
I love the trick to help counter because like the more people that are there, dead or alive, will make it so that the boss has more health and does more damage and is harder to kill for the people who are still alive. So I love the trick that some people use that he gains health or damage when dead people are around, which doesn't happen at all. I mean,
changed it so it actually did that.
Yeah, made so he actually healed. That would be hilarious. People would actually run back instead of waiting to be rezzed.
That'd be cool.
No, they wouldn't. Though. People would just snap more and more violently, which is what I want to see.
Anyway.
You just see people who specifically get banned because of things they've said to people during Balthazar.
So that's pretty much it. That's most of the stuff from this list that I found interesting. What do you guys think overall about their plans for 2013? They haven't talked about any of their new content, and they weren't planning to.
Like I said, I'm on the fence about the WoW fix. I think the fractal is going to be improvement in that direction. Is the idea of fractals a good idea as a whole? I'm not sure about it. I think it's leading more
towards... Okay, so for me, when me and Noobarama were progressing from fractal level 1 to 10, so before fucking Agony comes into it, the idea of an ever-changing dungeon, which they'll slowly add new fractals to, that was just fun, was awesome. But now the fractals became what they intended to be, which is this like kind of infinite dungeon where you get gear to get further. And
thing is, it's not really infinite because people hit the cap.
Right. Yeah. Well, what's the cap specifically?
It was intended to be infinite. I don't think they expected people to hit that cap so quickly.
Yeah, but
here's the thing. MMO developers, you should always expect someone to hit the cap you set.
Yeah, yeah. Always.
I believe I said as much in Mumble when you guys were talking about the people who hit the cap.
The cap is 80, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Personal story, same as our levels.
Hey.
I don't know.
But
whatever.
No, the thing is, the cap is 80. They can keep going past 80. They just can't. Like, they can do 80, then 81, then 82. They just can't start from 82.
Yeah.
But yeah, I love the idea of fractals when I thought it was just for funsies. After it became a gear grind, I thought it was like the worst thing in the world. I don't.
It really is, as far as I know, the best place to get like exotics and whatnot for ectos.
Right.
Anyway, whatever.
Yeah.
What I don't think it's going to be a big esports show by the end of the year. I think they're going to get custom arenas out. I don't know if they're going to get spectator mode out by the end of the year.
I'm going to say this right now. Even though they really want to really want to push Guild Wars 2 to be an esport, at this time where we are right now, I don't think it's going to happen.
Yeah, I don't think it's. I think it's going to be a slow burn, and they're not going to get up in time for.
Well, like as somebody who tends to spend quite a bit of time looking on Twitch and looking at what's being played and stuff, where Guild Wars 2 currently sits on Twitch, kind of on an average day or on an average weekend night, there's no fucking way this game is going to get to an esports level.
Yeah,
I mean, there are nights where there are more people streaming Star Wars than there are streaming Guild Wars 2.
Like some of it isn't their fault. Like in my opinion. A lot of the people who loved Guild Wars 1, this definitely includes my friends, love like the competitive and cooperative feeling of Guild Wars 1, have moved on to Dota. Dota 2 is like the esport at the moment, I think unrivaled in my opinion. Unless, I guess LoL is there.
LoL is the unrivaled one.
Yeah. No, well, LoL is the unrivaled one that's slowly on decline, from what I understand.
Yeah.
And Dota is the uprising one. But either way, the MOBA has taken the esports over just online, just in general.
You heard they're adding a MOBA map to WoW, right? To the WoW PvP.
So they're
chasing the money.
Yeah, I don't want to comment. on some level, it's not Arena's fault that they did get left behind in that way. But on the other sides of it, it's like, yeah, but you should have known that if you can't broadcast it, if you can't live stream a tournament, no one can watch the tournament, and therefore it may as well never have happened. Spectator mode.
Well, I think that's not true either. That is absolutely not true either, because there are, there are tournaments for WoW arenas, and as far as I know, there's no built-in spectator mode in that.
All right.
Definitely not from a client level. There might be something they have set up with Blizzard to allow them to do so.
Right.
Through the game, but that is definitely not on the client side.
But on the other side of that coin, StarCraft is as successful as it got because you can do a guest mode and view how awesome those matches are. Like, it wouldn't have gotten as big in Korea if it wasn't easy for them to have an equivalent of spectating for that game.
Because, yeah.
Obviously, the different genres.
Absolutely.
Yeah, like there were things the PvP community were crying out for in the betas that never happened. And I think it's too late. And part of it is because of Dota. Things have just left them behind. But either way, on that opinion, Thurbleton, I think they've missed the train on that.
Yeah. The big thing that I'm most excited for isn't actually WoW, just because, I mean, the people who like that are either going to keep playing that or they're going to move on to another game like Elder Scrolls Online. I think very similar to WoW.
Pick a different one.
I'm just saying they're copying a lot of stuff. People are talking about it.
It's a fucking terrible idea. Pick any other.
It's the game's not out yet. We don't know how it's going to play. I predict badly, but anyway, the thing I'm most excited about is the idea of adding more events and more meta stories for each zone in the PvE game. I really hope that's something they really pushed about pre-release. Mm-hmm. We're starting to see that with, I guess, the story of the Lost Shores. I guess apparently the Carcass story isn't finished yet. I don't know.
Shut up. Don't say that. That's the opposite of what I want to hear. Not.
If you think about it, it's Tales of Tyria made sense of this, but it's the only zone that isn't related to any the PvE story progression. Mm-hmm. So they can use, people can just keep coming back to that zone and they can develop it more to the just terrible zone it is right now, where everyone just goes there for that one Orichalcum node.
Damn straight, that one Orichalcum node. I didn't even know that was a thing, but absolutely. I found that node, I was like,
and so
there are people who have alts, level one alts, logged out. Just logged there day long to mine that ore.
Yeah.
When
I first did it, I walked up there, got the ore, and I was like, hey, this is easy Orichalcum. And I knew people would exploit it, so I'm happy to hear
They put a champion at the top of the steps.
Or a Calcum has dropped down to an all-time low. So if anybody needs that for their like
armor and shit,
it's like less than 4 silver a bar.
Yeah.
As you can review with our legendary podcast, that or Calcum, you need like I think 1,000 ingots for most legendaries. Or not, 1,000 ore, 500 ingots. That's what it was.
Right.
You need two.
Actually, it depends. Like I know all legendaries take 250.
Mm-hmm.
Wait.
Anyway, they're dirt cheap right now, as cheap as they're going to be. So there is that. But like the story, like we're starting to see with ore potentially, is they're going to improve on that story and all that.
Sure.
I don't know. That's what I'm speculating for 2013.
This idea has been ruminating in my head for a while, but when I first heard them talking about dynamic events and dynamic event chains and all that kind of stuff, and like when Guild Wars 2 was originally announced, and we got into the game and we played it for the first time, so the first betas, the things we all walked away from were the dynamic event chains that came up, that ended up with the story. So, for example, the one in Queensdale, where these dudes are attacking the water filtration plant, and they put in like slime and all that kind of stuff, and people are affected by the slime. That was like a little story in and of itself. The one in Iron Marches, where it's a lady, a witch who's bewitching children and kills them all and shit like that. That's a story. It was very memorable to me. But aside from that, most of pretty much 90% of the fucking dynamic events in this game are walking from one place to another, or killing shit. Or like just crap, just like things I don't want to do with my time. If they'd said to me that instead they're gonna relist their team of writers and make a whole new set of dynamic events across the world, which actually were little vignettes and little stories, that would be exciting to me. But as they are, of just like changing mob densities and stuff, sure, do whatever you want. I'm not particularly
excited. Yeah, my favorite story is the one from the Char Second Zone. It's mainly just because I really like the Char Zones as a whole, but like the three ones I can name off the top of my head are the one for the basically it's a back and forth with the Flame Legion, but like they take apart this town and you have to rebuild the town and all that, and then you go attack the Flame Legion. Mm-hmm. But that's just a very back and forth one.
Yeah.
Then there's the Steam Creations in one of the Norn Zones.
Right.
Dreadhorn Cliffs.
Yeah, that's the one.
Sorry. That's Lonar's Pass. I'm sorry. I should not forget that is the hell that is Lonar's Pass.
Yeah. But like that's sort of a story. Mm-hmm. I mean like that's not really a vignette. That's not like any story like that's you don't take away anything from that, and I think if they had more personal characters in the world,
exactly.
I think
that'd be characters walking around, like people you could like. I guess you're asking for a lot because you're looking for unique character models, like actually written out word dialogue that actually forms a story. That is a lot to ask for. But when I was originally told about dynamic events, those little things, those little pockets of brilliance I've seen around the world was what I was hoping more from. So, but anyway. That's just an aside. That's something what I want is fucking Skyrim, but MMO, and I don't want the fucking Skyrim.
You want Elder Scrolls Online?
That's not what I want. MMO. That's not what I want. That's the problem. That's the problem. I want Skyrim MMO. I don't want Elder Scrolls Online. Anyway, how long has this been going for? We should wrap this up.
Yeah, it's
2.5 hours.
2-ish hours.
Yeah.
All right. Pretty good time, yeah. Do we just want to go to plugs? I mean, like, I think we covered most of the stuff that we can talk about.
Yeah, yeah.
For the upcoming January release and moving on.
Yeah, the Cantha thing is still on the NDA, right?
Wait, what Cantha thing?
Don't worry.
Nothing.
No Cantha thing. What are you talking about? No one says
something. Telling me this when we're off. It's like when we're done recording. You're telling me what this Cantha thing is.
I don't know what they're talking about.
Yeah, oh, I don't know. I don't know what Drew was talking about at all.
One last thing we can cover is just a fun tidbit, which is really something I wish they would have said months ago. But when we were talking about the AOE cap, a lot of people believe
that thing.
Siege is capped at 5 people as well.
No,
it's not
50.
Most for most Siege, that doesn't really have to do with attacking people, it's like 10. But things like arrow carts, rams for some reason, mortars for some reason.
Trebuchets specifically.
I don't know why rams and mortars are designed to hit.
I just love to see somebody actually stand in front of a ram long enough to get hit. Because at that point, they fucking deserve it.
I think it's the flame blast on one of those rams.
Yeah, but the blast is from the side, and for most of the time, they're just like they're AOEing on you because you're standing still.
Yeah.
But yeah, there's that. No, but like it's a 50-person cap.
Mm-hmm.
So really, like three people with arrow carts could hold back a Zerg attacking a door.
Yeah, Revan, I love that. By the way, I know no one can hear this, but I love that Revan has completely fallen out of frame now.
Yeah, he's just lying down now.
I'm about to fall out of this bed.
Start off like center frame. Now he just.
But what time is it over there? For me, it's like 4 p.m. So I'm not too bad.
12:30.
Awesome.
Yeah, it's 9:30.
Something. A pussy.
I've been up since 7.
You are a pussy. God damn.
But here's something that is I just want to like
2 p.m.
Trebuchets hit 50 people. I am cool with that. A giant flaming boulder falls through the sky and hits me. I get pushed back a little bit and take a third damage.
Yeah.
Please let just like we get the red circle. We get like the random guy out of nowhere that shouts Trebuchet, yep. Like in the Battle of Kylo, and then if we don't move, we like lose 80% of our life.
Yeah, but wasn't it like that fine. Before, like pre-release? I swear, I've wiped out people pre-release with Trebuchet.
Oh yeah, it fucking hurt like hell pre-release for sure.
It was like 12,000 damage.
Yeah,
easy in pre-release.
Like if you got hit once, that was your warning shot. The next one, you were down.
Yeah, you're dead. Almost as fun as cannons.
Let's just go to plugs, guys. That
yep.
plugs.
Yeah, I think that pretty much covers the show.
Cynic, you got anything to plug? You just gonna do New Brahma's plugs?
Nah, I'm gonna do New Brahma. Eh. Fuck that guy.
He wasn't here to do himself.
PC Games Hub, man.
Facebook, or maybe it's. I'm gonna
plug something that I usually don't. I'm gonna say, check out audible.com. I really like that site. I usually don't. This has got nothing to do. We aren't sponsored or anything. I just really like Audible.
Like most podcasts that get sponsored by Audible, we are not getting paid to talk
about
it.
I've recently, I've been a member for quite a while, but I recently did a bunch of books back to back. And it's just been really awesome to have that around. So, yeah.
I think at this point, we live in a weird age because, like, unlike most podcasts, we're not sponsored.
Yeah. Which is weird.
That's becoming a thing now.
Sponsored podcasts. What's with that?
Yeah.
What? If anybody at Blue Yeti Microphones wants to podcast us.
Yeah, because we're on PA.
Sponsor us.
Push the people on this podcast. Use it. Yeah. Not talking to them.
You know, that's mine. Nothing serious to plug. Just yeah, if you want something cool to do with your time, listen to books. It's pretty good. Or read. Yeah. Reading is good for you. Do it.
So. Unless it's tax forms.
Yeah.
Durin, apart from tax forums, any plugs?
Yeah, I am going to have a lot of free time on my hands in the near future.
Yeah.
So I'm going to be streaming. So I will finally start plugging twitch.tv/Durin and come check it out. I'm going to be playing some games. Have no fucking idea what yet. I don't know what I'm going to start with. I had a couple of games.
Let me recommend something. Devil May Cry.
I actually might have turned around on that one. I think I'm going to wait until a Steam sale for that.
Really?
That's cool. Yeah. I mean, it looks like a really fun game. I've never been big in Devil May Cry, and there's some really big games coming out this next couple of months that I'm going to definitely want to get. Mm-hmm. And given that I'm not working, that kind of limits how many of those I can buy.
Oh, my God. So, there's a post on YouTube that's actually pretty popular, so you may have already seen links, but that just posted a edited down version of the whole Halo 4 story into an hour. That was pretty cool. I'm not gonna play that game now. But I
saw the story.
Yeah, it's pretty cool. It's pretty cool. Anyway, I'm happy I was able to consume it in that fashion. I'm not talking about the story itself. But I like the fact.
I zoned out at the info dump in that story. Just like, oh Lord, no, fuck this.
I do like how Giant Bomb mentioned Halo, I think Halo 5 or something, during like the Unprofessional Fridays, yep. I think is what it was.
Yep.
Yeah, somebody asked them if they were going to cover Halo 5, or who, if somebody was going to review Halo 5, and they said yes, they're working on that review right now. but yeah, I'm not sure which game exactly I'm going to be starting with. I got a couple of them I'm kind of in the middle of. I've got Darksiders 2, Far Cry 3, Spec Ops The Line, I'm still kind of halfway through, as well as I'm currently on the beginning of episode 3 of The Walking Dead. So it could pretty much be just about any of those games or others.
Mm-hmm. I might watch the stream of that because...
Just Steam Roulette it.
I or if I would be on your stream for that, because I would just... I will tell you what I think about that game and why I don't think it deserved Game of the Year from Indie Publicate. But anyway, whatever.
Oh, no. Don't get me wrong. It was not on my top 5 games of the year.
Yeah, we went through that. We went through that.
Yeah. Oh, and also Far Cry 3. I definitely want to get back to that one. So any one of those games could be something I'll be streaming that night. I tend to have gaming ADD, so it literally could be a different game each night. Who knows?
Cool.
And again, that's twitch.tv/DOURIN, right?
Yep.
Sweet. Riven, anything you want to talk about? Anything you want to plug?
No, not really.
I guess your plug was the Guild Wars Looking for Group Tool, right?
Yeah, Guild Wars 2.
More people will do fractals with you?
No, because I'm just starting to dislike the people I'm doing fractals with mostly.
Aww. That ranger was hilarious. Like, your hatred for him was hilarious.
The hatred I've had for some of these people. I don't remember a lot of the stories about some of this hatred.
Basically, it was like you were so pissed at the guy.
I remember the one where I wanted to pull the stick out of that dude's ass and beat him to death with it, but...
Nah.
Well, no, it's like you wanted to boot him from the group right before the boss died.
Oh, this was that one.
The group during the fucking last boss fight, and it fucking sent everyone back to Lion's Arch. I was like, I'm fine with this. I fucking wasted 2 hours of my life, but I'm fucking done with you. I don't fucking care. I'm done.
What's wrong with him? What'd you do?
Fucking asshole.
I guess, like
one more time, I'm done. Motherfucker, we are on the last fight. We do this and we are done. It's gravy from here on out. And you want to start bitching? You can leave now. No one is forcing your ass to be here. Don't let the door hit you with a dog. Should have bit you.
Nice.
I guess just so people know, this is like pretty often what you experience on the Lickin' Cast Mumble or Lickin' Force Mumble.
It's
hilarious.
People bitching about their fractal groups.
It's either like karaoke, a freaking talking about sports, or Riven on a rampage. Just crazy stuff.
Speaking of karaoke, we need to wrap this thing up because Shin has some Taylor Swift waiting for me.
Oh, man.
I'm dead tired. I will stay on for that fucking Taylor Swift.
I guess my quick plugs, shout out to Onus. He's one of the listeners who talked to us about how much like you like the show. Aww. If you want, talk to send us a love or a question or something on the Twitter. That's somebody looked that up real fast. The other thing I like to
at the Lincoln Cast.
Yeah, it's at the
Lincoln, I think
at
so. The I'm not sure.
Yeah, no, it is at the Lincoln Cast.
Okay.
And same with the
Lincoln Cast at gmail.com. My plug is going to be I'm streaming as well, but I'm not using Twitch anymore. I'm using own3d.tv/Thurbleton.
You'll have to send me a link to that so I can post it.
Own3d.tv? It's basically that I'm getting the double the upload for it. But I'm trying to do like every Monday something. I call it Manic Mondays. Mm-hmm. I was doing Hawken for a little bit. Now I'm also doing a playthrough of Dishonored where I'm just killing everyone.
Yep.
Everyone must die.
Mm-hmm. That's pretty cool.
I end up getting killed a lot, but
is it the new game from the developers of Orcs Must Die?
Yes.
Everyone must die?
That'd be cool.
If only.
There is some hilarity with it. I'm having fun with it. I'm trying to game every Monday.
Yeah. Awesome.
And you might occasionally catch Thurb and I both streaming.
Yeah. Like we might try doing like we were doing SPVP streams on Wednesdays, but I don't know. But yeah, check it out.
Yeah,
that's all I got. This is the part where we don't know how to end it, so I'm just gonna say
bye, everybody.
Goodbye.
I believe it was have a nice day and fuck off.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Fuck off and have a nice day. Hey,